The following is a production of Minor League Baseball, the Lynchburg Hillcats, and Virch. Welcome into another night of Lynchburg Hillcats Baseball. We are about 20 minutes from the start of tonight's game, and it's time for us to get you set for first pitch. Coming up over the next 20 minutes, we will preview the game with the pitching matchup and the starting lineups. We'll also sit down with tonight's pregame interview. And finally, we'll look around the Carolina League and update the standings. Hillcats Baseball is on deck, but first, to preview tonight's game, here's Connor Young.
Well, the Cats' backs are against the wall now. After dropping the first two games of the series to Carolina here at the Bank of the James Stadium, it is do-or-die time for Lynchburg. Carolina can guarantee a series split with a win tonight, and it is only the third game of this series. Hillcats fans and the Cats themselves are hoping the Bats can put up more of a fight than what we have seen in this series from Lynchburg to this point. Welcome to the Lynchburg Hillcats pregame show on the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network. Myself, Connor Young, will be your host as we take a look at the series recap from the week as it stands here in the Hill City. Jackson Humphreys started game one dominantly, to say the least. He struck out the side in the first frame, setting the tone for what looked like it was going to be a pitching duel enjoyed by both starters. Half of the bargain would be lived up to, as Daniel Corniel was great on the bump for Carolina and neutralized Lynchburg's offense for six innings and then some. Lynchburg didn't score a single run until the bottom of the seventh, and they would find themselves in a winning run at the plate situation in the eighth and ninth innings, but just couldn't complete the comeback, dropping game one. Game two started off with a bang. Carolina opened up the ball game with three runs in the first inning, fueled by a two-run home run shot from Eric Batonti. Lynchburg would answer right back with two runs of their own in the second inning, and the scoreline wouldn't move past 3-2 until the top of the eighth. You can thank Durant Parra and Yogli Garcia for Lynchburg, and Jack Seppings, along with Morris Austin for Carolina, for that. Those pitchers took the middle innings, with Garcia taking the majority of the workload for Lynchburg, and Austin doing the heavy lifting for Carolina, keeping both offenses on either side scoreless. Carolina would follow up their one-run eighth with three runs in the ninth off Renny Artiles to give them plenty of cushion, heading into the bottom of the ninth, where Lynchburg would plate one run but eventually lose 7-3. It has certainly been a pitching-favored series to this point. These two fresh faces who will be starting on the bump for Lynchburg and Carolina are certainly hoping that trend continues at least one day longer. On the bump for Lynchburg is Rafe Schlesinger. Rafe was called up to the club after Jason Chirio sustained his injury against Salem last week. Schlesinger will be making his first start at the professional level. He is coming off a so-so junior season at Miami and is looking to get back to his sophomore form, where he really turned Major League heads as a member of the Hurricanes 1 year ago. The debuts keep rolling in as Carolina's starting man is Mason Molina. Molina is another SEC man, much like Harden from last night. Molina was drafted in the seventh round of Arkansas by Milwaukee. We will see what manager Nick Stanley and the Mudcats can get out of their Carolina League rookie starter on this blistering Thursday evening, which is cooling down and looking a little bit grayer by the moment. From here at home in the Hill City to spanning all across the Carolina League, let's check in on the Carolina League schedule and standings here on the Lynchburg Hillcats pregame show. About to get underway here in Lynchburg, just about 20 minutes or so from first pitch. Kannapolis and Fredericksburg also will get going at 6:30 p.m. Eastern from Atrium Health Ballpark. Down East and Myrtle Beach, 7:05 p.m. Eastern start. Salem and Delmarva will also get going at that time. It'll be Duffy versus Braxton Bragg, the pitching duo for Delmarva and the Red Sox. Columbia and Augusta, 7:05 p.m. Eastern start from SRP Park, and Charleston and Fayetteville will get going at that time as well, as we turn to the standings. This point in the year, certainly standings watching season, and Lynchburg has found themselves falling in that category lately with two losses to Carolina after a split series against Salem on the road. Fredericksburg, 34-22 in the second half, has a game and a half lead over Carolina at 32-23 for the Mudcats. Salem in third place, separating the Mudcats and the Hillcats. Lynchburg in fourth at 27-27, six games out. Down East tied with Lynchburg, both at a 500 win percentage and six games away from Fredericksburg. Delmarva in last place in the North. In the South, Charleston has 3.5 games over Columbia as the Fireflies continue to fight for that top spot with the River Dogs. As of right now, Charleston 33-21, Columbia 30-25, Myrtle Beach in third, Kannapolis in fourth. They've already locked up a playoff spot, being the first half champions of the South. Fayetteville 23-31, in Augusta in the basement at 16-38. Well, now let's meet the starting lineups for both clubs, starting with your Lynchburg Hillcats. Tommy Hawk will lead off for the third straight day, while Bean Francisco will bat behind him for as many contests in a row. Luis Morejo on a five-game hit streak will bat third. Christian Napchick will start off the middle of the order, followed by Logan Clark and Juan Benjamin playing first base today. Bennett Thompson will get the day off behind the plate, but he'll still use the bat. DH in bat seventh, Barrett Reebok will bat eighth, and Fran Aldui will get his first start of the series batting ninth. That is what Jordan Smith is going with, while the Mudcast will shape up as followed. Daniel Guillarte is making his debut at the leadoff spot. We've seen him in the middle infield already several times this series. Juan Baez will bat behind him. Eric Patonti launched a two-run home run, as we talked about in the series recap. He was batting fourth yesterday. He'll move up to third today. Marco Dinges back in the lineup. He'll DH and bat from the cleanoff spot. Luis Castillo also launched a home run. He'll bat fifth. Took a 2-for-4, one home run, two RBI. Day at the office home with him last night. Yosmar Garcia will bat fifth, David Garcia seventh, Miguel Briseno eighth, and Ryde Mercado will make his series debut in left field batting ninth. Our pregame interview for today is with Lynchburg reliever Cam Schulke. Schulke has been so good out of the bullpen for the Hillcats since he was added to the roster. And he's one of the most fun players to watch on the Hillcats at the moment, with his sidearm, three quarters varying delivery from the arm slot. I caught up with Cam for potentially the last time this season earlier today. And that interview is coming your way next.
Celebrate the history of America's pastime at the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown. See priceless treasures that will bring your baseball memories to life. Connect with events that shape and change the game and our country. And relive the careers of legends who have earned the greatest honor in sports. Our stories to tell, your memories to share. Plan your family visit today at baseballhall.org.
Hey, Hillcats fans. Has your big bank just closed its doors? Come on over to Bank of the James. We make banking better in just three easy steps. First, stop by Bank of the James to open your account. Second, bring your current checking statement so we can help you with recurring transactions. And third, enjoy banking the way it should be. Why Bank of the James? We're your strong, local bank, and we're committed to you. Putting community first for 24 years. Come on over to Bank of the James.
You've probably heard the old saying, the best things in life are free. But do you believe it? The Lynchburg Hillcats want to make sure you and your kids do. Sign your kids up for Southpaw's Free Kids Club and experience the best free activity your money can't buy. All Kids Club members receive complimentary tickets to five designated Kids Club games, Virginia 529 Fun Zone passes for the whole season, and exclusive autograph sessions with players. Kids 12 and under can sign up at Lynchburg-Hillcats.com to activate their Kids Club membership today.
You're listening to Hillcats Baseball on the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network.
Welcome back to Lynchburg Hillcats pregame show. Connor Young here with Cam Schulke. And Cam, we were just talking about this before the interview, but you got to see a debut of an old teammate of yours, Tyson Harden, who made his debut on the mound for Carolina yesterday as a starting pitcher. How cool is it for you to see guys that you played with in college also make that journey with you to the professional leagues?
Yeah, it's awesome. Tyson was my throwing partner all year. Oh, wow. And he was my hotel roommate when we were on the road. So we got really close, and he had a fantastic year. So I'm glad he got the chance to come out here, play pro ball, do what he's always wanted to do. So it was awesome to watch.
For both of you guys playing in the SEC, this was something Jason and I were talking about in the broadcast a little bit yesterday. But that competition that you face at the SEC level in a lot of ways does prepare you a little bit more than maybe at different conferences in college for the professional leagues because of that pipeline that is established there through the SEC. Is that something that you found to be true? The transition, at least to Class A for you, seemed pretty seamless with how well you've pitched. Do you think that's a part of it?
Yeah, the SEC, playing in the SEC was a huge part of it. I mean, the competition, it doesn't get better in college. And then you give those guys metal bats. I mean, we're playing future big leaguers all the time. It's just, you have to be better because, at least in the SEC, if you make one mistake, they make you pay for it.
Yeah.
You don't get do-overs. You don't get second opportunities. Like, if you hang a pitch, they're going to hit it. That's just how it is. So, I feel like coming here, now getting guys with wood bats, it definitely prepared me a ton for this
right.
level.
Final question for you. I know you've only been here in the Hill City for a little bit, but this should probably be the last time we'll get to talk to you on the Lynchburg Hillcats pregame show, with it being the last homestand of the season. What's been your takeaway, if you had to boil it down, from your first season at the Class A level so far?
I love it. I love it. I love pro ball. It's fun, man. It's every day's baseball. We're getting paid. Love the teammates, love the coaches. Like, you know, I have zero complaints about this place. And mm-hmm. if I'm back here next year, I'm excited. So
yeah. Well, we will be too, and you've had a phenomenal start, so I'm excited to see how you finish the year off. Thank you for joining us on the Lynchburg Hillcats pregame show. Good insights there from Cam Schulke. One thing I will say, with how well he's been pitching this season for Lynchburg, the chances are pretty high he might not even start the 2025 campaign here in the Hill City. We'll see, but for our sakes, I sure hope he does. Well, that does it for the pregame show with Connor Young. Hillcats baseball is coming up next, but remember, stick around for the postgame show. After the last out is recorded, we will break down Game 3, take one final look around the league before getting ready for Friday's Game 4. But first, Jason Prill will take the mic after this.
The Virginia Commonwealth Games are back this summer in Lynchburg, Virginia, on the campus of Liberty University. Be a part of the tailgate party and opening ceremonies kickoff celebration. For more information, visit commonwealthgames.org.
If you're looking for a home, auto, or life insurance plan, look no further. State Farm has been offering great coverage at surprisingly low rates for over 100 years. Stop in and see one of the four Central Virginia insurance agents. For Lynchburg, call Chip Harvey. For Rustburg, contact Jack Dean. For Appomattox, call Sarah Saunders. And for Madison Heights, visit Kim Z. Gardner. Contact your local State Farm agents today.
The following is a production of the Lynchburg Hillcats and Minor League Baseball. A lot has changed about the Lynchburg Hillcats over the last 30 years. Four different affiliates, two different color schemes and mascots, and five championship titles.
In Lynchburg, the 2017 Carolina League champions.
Dozens of major leaguers have come through the Hill City.
It's my pleasure to present the Ted Williams All-Star Game MVP Award to Shane Bieber of the Cleveland Indians.
But as the city of Lynchburg celebrates the 30th anniversary of Hillcats baseball, it's safe to say that the best is yet to come.
The Hillcat hero!
Left field, that's going to drop.
Face it! Lynchburg does it again! The Cardiac Cats!
Way out of fair hand.
Comes home! Tag! Yes!
Hashtag Purdy 30.
The third runner being waved around. He will score!
Two-run home run to break the tie in the eighth.
Leaping, diving grab by Jose Devers.
Live from Bank of the James Stadium in Lynchburg, Virginia, here's the voice of the Hillcats, Jason Prill.
A pair of Carolina League and professional debuts highlighting this Thursday night action here in the Hill City is Jason Prill and Connor Young. With you tonight, as the Hillcats and the Mudcats get set for game number 3 of this 6-game series. It's the final homestand of the season, Connor, and right now the Hillcats are on the outside looking in as they've dropped the first 2 games to open up the homestand. They got a long way to go if they want to stay alive in this postseason race.
Yeah, it's very true. It's looking bleak in a lot of ways as far as their playoffs hopes are concerned, but maybe this is what they needed. Maybe now that you would have to think the pressure's off a little bit. What goes on around the Carolina League, not as much on the focus. You're just trying to play baseball now at this point and take it game by game, at-bat by at-bat, pitch by pitch. And maybe that's the approach Lynchburg needs to take now that, like you said, it's a bit more of a situation where they're on the outside looking in at that insulary group where they're trying to break into that top three, top two. And in doing so, the pressure might be off a little bit for Lynchburg, which could be all the difference.
And Lynchburg will be touting a new arm, a left-hander out of the University of Miami, and that may be the spark plug that they need to get things going. Just a strong arm at the dish, a college arm in Rafe Schlesinger. His numbers in his senior season, not as good as his first 2 years, but Connor, Cleveland wasn't deterred, and they're going to give him an opportunity after taking him in the fourth round.
Yeah. Similar build to what we've seen from Caden Favors, Jackson Humphreys. It's another big, tall, husky lefty, 6'3", 221 years of age. He looks the part, and I'm excited to see his first start in a Hillcat uniform.
He was the first of several Miami Hurricanes to be drafted in this past year's draft. In the second year in a row that the Guardians have drafted somebody out of the University of Miami, as Coral Gables being well represented in the Hill City, as last year C.J. Kafis made his way through out of the University of Miami, and now Rafe Schlesinger will follow suit after a senior year that didn't necessarily go his way, but wasn't necessarily the worst that he had had. He spent last summer in the Cape, and that's what Cleveland pays a lot of attention to, is how do they do in the Cape. We'll talk about that as the game goes on. For Carolina, Mason Molina will be the new arm, another college arm making his debut, this one out of the SEC. So we'll have an ACC-SEC pitching matchup tonight at Bank of the James Stadium. You don't get to say that very often, but yet here we are and here we go. Let's toss it down to Steve Stillwell, our PA announcer for tonight, who will get us all set for first pitch between Lynchburg and the Carolina Mudcats.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, here they come, your Lynchburg Hillcats! In right field, number 46, Luis Marejo! In center field, number 5, Tommy Hawk! In left field, number 12, Barrett Reebok! At first base, number 2, Juan Benjamin. At second base, number 10, Christian Knapchek. At shortstop, number 1, will be in Francisca. At third base, number 7, Fran Altuve. Doing the catching, number 9, Logan Clark. The designated hitter for the Hillcats, number 13, Bennett Thompson. And on the mound, number 40, Rafe Schlesinger. And managing your Hillcats, number 39, give it up for Jordan Smith. Fans, at this time, we ask that you please rise and kindly remove your caps as we honor America with the playing of our national anthem. Tonight, performed by Miss Sabrina Patel.
Thank you.
That sound means it's time for first pitch here in Lynchburg, Virginia. An outstanding ovation for the young girl performing tonight's national anthem, and well-deserved. That was an excellent rendition. Rafe Schlesinger, he will be tasked with getting Lynchburg back on track after a couple of rough nights for the Hill City Kitties. Schlesinger making his professional debut. He's out of the University of Miami. He works fastball, slider, changeup, and he's a tall left-handed arm. 6'3", 200, and he's looking to pick up a starting role after we would assume he was not supposed to pitch the rest of the season.
Yeah, he came up to the team after Jason Turio was down with injury, so you're trying to fill a roster spot there, and you end up bringing up a guy that, like you said, you may have originally planned on potentially shutting him down until the 2025 season, but more likely than not, and almost confirmed at this point, he was going to be here in Lynchburg next year. And we get a little bit of a sneak peek at Rafe Schlesinger, and in a starting role as well. In his sophomore season at Miami, which was his best collegiate season with Miami, he was used primarily out of the bullpen. But his numbers in that year as just a sophomore really were eye-popping. That got him a lot of traction as far as some MLB eyes getting on the left-hander. And then his league, or his season, I should say, in the Cape helps him out a lot, as you already talked about, Jason. But it's good to see him be put in the starting rotation right away for Jordan Smith.
Take us through the lineup for Carolina that he will face his first time through a professional order.
Daniel Guidalarte has been a staple in the middle of the infield for Carolina. He'll move up to the leadoff spot today, followed by Juan Baez and Eric Patonti, who launched a two-run home run in the first inning one night ago. Marco Dinges will bat from the cleanup spot. Luis Castillo, he also lost a home run of his own. He'll bat fifth and play right field. Yosuar Garcia will round out the middle. David Garcia will bat seventh. Miguel Briseno will bat eighth. And Ryde Mercado, the first time we've seen him in this series, he'll bat ninth and play left field.
First pitch of Rafe Schlesinger's career is a called strike as we are underway at 6:33, 87 degrees and partly cloudy here in Lynchburg. Just missing with a fastball, 95. We were told he probably sits lower to mid-90s, but he's definitely topping near 95 right now. Probably amped up for his first start. A 1-1, 94 again. This one fouled back, 1-2. I'm excited to see this arm. It's always nice to have powerful lefties. And Schlesinger, clearly that. As out steps Daniel Guidalarte. He's batting 240, 3 home runs, 30 RBIs. That's the 1-2 offering. Got him. First batter that he faces as a professional. He picks up a strikeout. Schlesinger, first K of his career as Lynchburg will hope for a few more of those tonight. They'll toss the ball to the side and make a little notation so he can add it to his collection. Always a cool moment to see the first one go down as Juan Baez steps in. Baez batting 273, a home run, 36 RBIs. He misses down and in for ball one. That was a good at-bat and a good approach from Schlesinger against Guidalarte.
Yeah, the fastball looks real good for Schlesinger at 96 on the punch-out pitch.
1-1 now as Baez gets rid of it. Baez, he's been in the two-hole every night this week. As it sails a bit wide, two balls and a strike.
First time he's been penciled in at second base this series, although he has played there several times this year.
He chops it toward third behind the bag, but foul. Aldewey gave it a look, but couldn't get there anyway, so now we'll have to wait as Merritt Reebok in left field tracks it down. Our umpires tonight, William Pascal behind the plate, Robert Bonet in the field. On a humid night in Lynchburg, it's supposed to start cooling down the next couple of ball games. And quite frankly, I can't wait. The 2-2 spoiled it. We'll try it again. It's been a hot week, Connor.
It has.
I'm shocked. We saw a couple last night, but I'm shocked we haven't seen more balls flying out of here with how warm and humid it's been. A 2-2 offering. Slider right back to him. Schlesinger with an underhand flip to first. And there's two down. Looked pretty natural fielding his position, too. Always a good sign for a young pitcher. It's important to get him through a quick first inning. Get his confidence up. As Eric Patonti digging in, coming off of an award-winning Arizona Complex League season. As a called strike in there, 0-1.
A couple Hillcats joining him on that list as well. Will be in Francisca. Yervis Alfaro.
Breaking ball finds the zone, 0-2. Patonti was named to the Complex League All-Star team earlier today at third base after hitting .320. The 0-2 up and in, missing tight, 1-2, wasted a pitch. He had a slash line of .320, .451, .580. 8 home runs, 42 RBIs for Patonti.
Already with 7 homers at the single A level as well. So that's 15 between the two levels. Pretty impressive stuff.
He's got some pop. Patonti, a third round pick last year by the Brewers. 2-2. 3-2. As Schlesinger misses down and away. This is not a guy you want to leave one over the heart of the plate to either.
Oh, no.
We saw what he could do to a baseball yesterday. He blasted a 2-run home run in the first inning. The payoff pitch. Beautiful pitch right down Ford Avenue. And Patonti will have to wave goodbye to Schlesinger as the Hillcats exit stage left. We'll be back with more. In the bottom of the first inning, it's the Hillcats' turn to face a new arm. On the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network.
Check out Creative Edge Design Incorporated for your signs, banners, and wrap services. We are a 3M certified graphics installation company backed by a 3M warranty, protecting your graphics against any cracking, fading, or peeling for over 10 years. Your graphics will continue to look exactly like they did on the day they were installed. Visit us at cedi.biz for more information. Creative Edge Designs, custom designs for you.
Are you a fan of fireworks or collecting sports memorabilia? Or maybe instead of the bar, you want to spend your nights at the ballpark. Whatever your passion, the Lynchburg Hillcats have a mini plan package for you. Make sure to secure your tickets for every Thirsty Thursday, Freebie Friday, or fireworks show Saturday with one of our dated mini plans. Craving more baseball? Sign up for our 30-game mini plan. Not sure what games you want to go to? The Hillcats offer undated mini plans as well. For more information and to purchase your 2024 mini plan, visit Lynchburg-Hillcats.com.
You're listening to the 30th anniversary season of Lynchburg Hillcats Baseball.
Mason Molina, the left-hander, will make his professional debut tonight as the lefty out of the University of Arkansas. We'll toe the rubber, Connor. What do we got on Molina?
Yeah, it's another new arm for Carolina, and it's a long run of new arms, especially starters we've seen from the Mudcats in this series. He should be the last of the brand new debuts. It's a Carolina rotation that has had a lot of turnover. But Molina, he was successful at Arkansas. Again, another SEC guy. We saw Tyson Hardin last night from Mississippi State. And now from Arkansas, Mason Molina. Different build from Hardin, a little bit of stockier left-hander, but from what we've seen one season ago at the highest level of collegiate baseball, a lot to like.
Tommy Hawk, 1-1 as he tips it into the glove. Tommy Hawk, it's his T-shirt jersey giveaway night. Adding .267, a home run, 21 RBIs. The 1-1 from the lefty. Finds the zone, 1-2. His whole family is in town. They're sitting past the Hillcats dugout on the third base side. Met them all before the game. The 1-2. Breaking ball. Caught. Strike 3. Hawk in disagreement. I can't say I blame him, but it was a good breaking ball from Molina. He worked outside the first half of the at-bat, and a breaking ball wraps on the inside corner, and Hawk is frozen for out number one. Take us through the defense for Carolina.
It'll be Mercado in left field, our first look at him. Garcia in center, Castillo in right. Briseno will man the hot corner for the Mudcats while Guillarte takes over at short. Baez moves from the hot corner to second, and Betanti will once again stay at first. Garcia behind the plate after getting the day off yesterday.
The 1-0 to Francisca. He fouls it back 1-1. Francisca batting .329, a home run, 13 RBIs. Last night, a rough one for him, an 0-for-4. Put everything in play, but could not get aboard. He takes a changeup for strike two. That's a good changeup. He works fastball, changeup, slider, curveball. Two-strike offering. Went changeup again, and Francisca fooled. That's a good sinking changeup. It drops hard.
Yeah, Molina's got options as far as his repertoire is concerned. He feels comfortable with three pitches, the fastball, the changeup, and the breaking pitch. He'll use every single one of them in any count. And, Jason, going back to yesterday, you know, when 1 through 4, you've got 15 at-bats amongst the top four hitters in your lineup, and you only have one base hit between that group. Pretty hard to find a way to win baseball games, and Lynchburg really struggled due to that yesterday. You got to see the big hitters at the top of the order be more productive.
0-1 to Luis Morejo, and the Hillcats seem objectively fooled by the changeup of Molina. Morejo batting .311, three home runs, 13 RBIs, but he's also down in the count 0-2. It's Molina working quickly. The pitch, and he got him to chase in the dirt. Another changeup. He went off speed pretty much that entire inning, and the Hillcats just could not touch him. Three strikeouts for Molina as he matches Schlesinger with a 1-2-3 first inning. We could have ourselves quite the pitching matchup tonight, Connor. We'll have more of it when we come back on the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network.
Scientech Systems is your technology partner. Whether it's business class internet, phone and TV, or their world-class IT services, Scientech is here to manage your technology needs so you can focus on what you love to do. Visit Scientech.com for a free quote today.
Celebrate the history of America's pastime at the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown. See priceless treasures that will bring your baseball memories to life. Connect with events that shape and change the game and our country. And relive the careers of legends who have earned the greatest honor in sports. Our stories to tell, your memories to share. Plan your family visit today at baseballhall.org.
Alongside Connor Young, here's the voice of Lynchburg Hillcats baseball, Jason Prill.
Schlesinger with a 1-2-3 first, two strikeouts, only overshadowed by the three strikeouts of Mason Molina from his first inning of work. It'll be Dingis, Castillo, and Garcia, the three due up for the Mudcats tonight. And Schlesinger, the left-hander from Holbrook, New York. He was taken in the fourth round of this past year's draft. Now he finds himself in Lynchburg. Holbrook, a small little community in Long Island, just outside the financial capital of the world. That missed wide for ball one. And there for a strike, 1-1. Schlesinger rocks, kicks, delivers, missing out wide, two balls, one strike. You know, we talked yesterday, Connor, about the talent of the SEC and baseball down south, but what gets lost, and we talked about it, we hinted at it a little bit, is the talent from up north that goes down there to play baseball.
Mm-hmm.
But when we look at a lot of the hometowns for guys who are playing at this level, there are a lot of Northerners,
yeah,
and New Yorkers especially, Ground ball past the first baseman, Benjamin, into right field where Marejo is ranging tonight. So the first hit of the night belongs to Dinges. Luis Castillo will step in, but Connor, the North, when we think about baseball, oftentimes we think about everything that happens in the SEC, in Florida, Texas, California.
Sure.
But the Northeast produces quite a few good baseball prospects.
Absolutely. And a lot of them you'll see either be drafted out of high school or will make the trek down south to play their college baseball. But yeah, there's a lot of talent up there for sure. It's a little bit harder to be a baseball player in the North just because the season is often so much shorter. But if anything, that probably just means you're going to have some more miles on you. You're going to find a way to play baseball somewhere, somehow, if you're serious about it in this day and age.
Travel baseball, and they're going to go all over the country. I mean, you look at the guys from Lynchburg, or on Lynchburg, who are from the Northeast. You have a handful of them this season, as that's in there, 1 and 2. I mean, Kyle Scott, you can consider Maryland the Northeast.
Alex Clemmie was from Rhode Island.
And then you have some Midwesterners as well, some Pennsylvania and Ryan Cesarini. There's a decent chunk of Nor'easterners missing downstairs, 2 balls and 2 strikes. But because of where they went to college or the fact that they get drafted out of the Northeast, I think the common misconception is that baseball up north just isn't as competitive. The 2-2, ground ball up the middle, could be 2. Francisco bobbles it. He'll take it to second himself to first, not in time. As I think the baseball eating him up, he didn't feel comfortable trying to perform an underhand flip to Napchick. So they'll get Dinges. Castillo beats it out for a fielder's choice. And that's something we saw Lynchburg practicing before the game, Connor.
Yep.
Where they were working on taking the baseball to the second base bag themselves before flipping it over. So maybe that's also fresh on his mind. Yoswar Garcia takes downstairs for ball one. And that's something that we've seen Lynchburg struggle with at times, is turning two unassisted, or not unassisted, but without having to flip it to somebody at the second base bag. They may rush the throw or get uncomfortable or off balance. Lynchburg, not necessarily a sure-handed defensive squad. The 1-1 finds the zone, 1 and 2.
You know, oftentimes you'll find the little minute details are the intricacies that the best teams thrive in. And looking at the double plays on the season, Lynchburg has 79 on the year, which is about middle of the pack. But Carolina, best record in the Carolina League, all season long, really. They have the most double plays turned at over 90. So just those small things can really be the difference in winning ball games.
This one grounded back to second base. Napchick, he'll tag the runner and flip to first. They will not get Garcia. Castillo retired on another fielder's choice. Everyone's trying to do it themselves right now. That one, though, I think a little bit more understandable for Napchick. It was slowly hit. And the only opportunity to get the lead runner was to place the tag.
Yeah, and I think he thought he was going to have a little bit of an easier job making the tag as well. But it did slow him up just enough for Garcia to reach first safely.
So David Garcia, as a pickoff goes awry, Yoswar Garcia will hold it second.
They had him, too. He was leaning, and right off the throw, he broke for a second, knew he had no chance of getting back to first. It just wasn't on target for Schlesinger.
Well, there's very clearly one fan that's upset about the pickoff play.
I mean, it worked. It was just a bad throw. He had him leaning.
Skied into right center field. Hawk and Marejo converging. Marejo, the right fielder, will call him off and make the play to end the inning. I can already tell everyone in this ballpark is going to be annoyed by the coach sitting in the stands tonight. We'll head to the bottom half of the second inning right here on the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network.
YMCA has been serving Lynchburg and the surrounding community for years. With two Central Virginia locations, the YMCA has plenty to offer for kids and adults alike. To join or check out one of the classes, camps, or programs offered by the Y, visit ymcacva.org or stop in at their downtown or Jamerson locations. The YMCA is a proud partner of Lynchburg Hillcats Baseball.
Hey fans, are you looking to disconnect and enjoy a perfect getaway? Well, let me introduce you to Crabtree Falls Campground. With campsites right on the river, four rustic cabins, and bathrooms with hot water, Crabtree Falls Campground is your place to stay this summer. Located just an hour drive from Lynchburg, Crabtree Falls Campground is just a half-mile hike away from the tallest waterfall east of the Mississippi. Visit www.crabtreefallscampground.com or call them at 540-377-2066 to book your stay.
You're listening to Hillcats Baseball on the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network.
Nothing more annoying than a fan who probably has never pitched professionally or played professionally at any level, or maybe not even played in college, telling professionals how to do their job. What can I say, though? That's what happens when you play sports. We're into the bottom of the second inning, still scoreless. What an inning by Mason Molina in the first as he went 1-2-3, struck out the side in his professional debut inning. He'll face Napchick, Clark, and Benjamin, but Molina, his changeup looked stunning.
Yeah, we'll have to see a little more, but for Lynchburg, it could turn into a situation of, okay, let's make sure we're getting in count where we can see that fastball and really zero in on that pitch. Because like you said, they couldn't have any success against both the changeup and the breaking ball for Molina. And we've seen so many times this year, Jason, whether it's in benefit of Lynchburg or against them, a new face, a new pitcher can really be hard to deal with for a batter when you haven't seen him before, maybe have less information on him. And so far, for both pitchers, that's been somewhat the truth today.
The 1-0 on Christian Napchick as he takes above the belt, ball two. Napchick batting 254, two home runs, 40 RBIs. Connor, we've seen the Hillcats struggle quite often with new pitchers. As Napchick drives it to right field, Castillo will drift back, make the grab for out number one. Logan Clark will step in after the Hillcats finally put one in play, ending the string of three strikeouts to open up the career of Molina. Clark batting 292, two home runs, nine RBIs. Left-hander has him swinging out in front of that changeup yet again, strike one. And this might be the best changeup we've seen from an opposing pitcher or from a Hillcat, for that matter, all year. It's got a lot of movement to it. Almost a straight drop when it reaches home plate. The 1-1. Broken bat into center field. That'll drop for a base hit. And Logan Clark gets the Hillcats in the hit column in the second inning. Lynchburg, it's been tough sledding at the dish this series. You mentioned the woes at the top of the order, Connor.
Yep.
But it's really been a 1-9 problem where guys just weren't getting aboard. Yesterday, only four hits.
Yeah. Logan Clark, though, when he has been in the lineup, he wasn't yesterday. He's been a pretty consistent source of offense from the backstop position. He's been getting rotational time with Manuel Mejias, and now since Bennett Thompson was called up, he's been getting some looks over behind the plate as well. But Clark, out of those three, since he's been on the roster, has been the most offensively inclined catcher. And he's shown some pop as well, but right there, just sends it up the middle for the first base hit of the ball game for the Hillcats.
The 0-1 roped into left field. That'll be a base hit for Benjamin. Stopping at second is Clark. I mentioned in my keys to the game tonight that play inside Bank of the James Stadium that Lynchburg needed to get base runners early in the ball game.
Yep.
To try and throw Molina off whatever he's trying to do. Because if you can get to him early in a debut, that can really rattle a pitcher. And you can already tell Molina may be a little bit rattled as the whole infield comes in to talk to him. Maybe picking up a play or something. Kind of an odd situation. You don't have much speed at second base, so Don't necessarily understand why they would call the whole infield in. But.
Yeah, it's strange. Regardless, another thing that Lynchburg really has been struggling with, Jason, and haven't seen yet this series, is stringing together hits, or stringing together at least base runners. It seems like, sure, they might bloop in a couple walks or a hit every inning, other inning or so, but the magic of baseball often is when you start that rally and hitting become contagious down the lineup. We haven't seen that from Lynchburg at all in any measure this week.
Bennett Thompson, he's put a lot of good swings this week together, but he'll fly out to left field. Tagging from second is Clark. He'll reach third base easily. Benjamin will stay at first. So runners at the corners with two down now. I'm liking what I'm seeing from Thompson. Hits just aren't falling. He's getting a little bit too underneath.
Yeah, he's popping the baseball up a little too much rather than hitting it on a line, although his two fly balls yesterday were driven to the deeper parts of the bank of the James Stadium. That one lofted a little bit more than his two tries yesterday. But like you said, the bat-to-ball skills seem to be there. We just haven't seen the swing path exactly be profitable as far as base hits are concerned.
Barrett Reebok takes high and wide, ball one. Molina up over 20 pitches now after that one. Still three strikeouts. Runners at the corners. Logan Clark, 90 feet away. That misses downstairs. Two balls, no strikes. Lynchburg in this series has not had a lead yet. They've had to play from behind the whole series. That's tough sledding. Reebok with an RBI opportunity. He's got six of them on the year. Out wide. Three balls, no strikes. Lynchburg not as aggressive 3-0 as Carolina has been. But this may be an opportunity. Caught the inside part of the plate. Reebok tried to sell it for ball four. 3-1.
Tough call for Reebok.
Benjamin showing no inclination with the left hander on the mound to take off for second. The 3-1. That one, almost the same spot, called ball four. And the bases are loaded for Fran Aldui. So after the very quick first inning from Molina, he's got trouble in the second. Ducks on the pond for Aldui. And out comes the pitching coach for the Mudcats, Michael O'Neill. Oh, the job he's done this season. It's a good pitching staff for the Mudcats. And in this series alone, they have limited anything from the Hillcats. Two runs the first night. And three runs yesterday. Through two games.
I think it's especially impressive because they haven't really had a stabilizing force as far as a pitcher that stuck around at this level for very long. So it's one thing if you're gifted with a good group that stays for three quarters, half the year, but they haven't really had that. He's had to work with new faces almost every month or two and reinvent a rotation in a season, which is just something that's really isolated to minor league baseball. But you're right, he's done a great job.
Fran Aldui. But the base is loaded. He's batting a .191 on the year. A .522 OPS. He just needs to get aboard. In the dirt, Garcia. An easy pick as it bounced right at his chest for ball one. That was well short from Molina. Left-hander transferred from Texas Tech to the University of Arkansas. He's from Rancho Santa Margarita, California. As that's catching the corner, one ball, one strike. He spent his first 2 years of collegiate baseball with the Red Raiders before spending his junior year in Sigpui Land, or Higsui, excuse me. As that's fouled back, 1-2. So Aldui down in the count, 1-2. Clark at third, Benjamin at second, Reebok at first, two away. Bottom of the second inning, scoreless ballgame. A two-strike offering from Molina, trying to get out of the frame. Ground ball toward first, backhanded pick by Batanti. Race to the back, diving is the first baseman to get Aldewey. I don't think he needed to dive, but he risked it anyway. And the inning comes to a close. Lynchburg leaves them loaded. We head to the third on the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network.
Wondering how to buy tickets to minor league baseball games? Look no further than the Bally Live app. Download Bally Live today and you can buy tickets to your favorite minor league baseball games and watch in person. Can't make it to the ballpark? We got you. Watch every minor league baseball game for free on the Bally Live app all season long. Pick your favorite team, track stats, chat with friends, and earn rewards in the Game Center. Download Bally Live from the app or Play Store today.
It's your last chance to catch the Lynchburg Hillcats at home this season as they square off against the Carolina Mudcats August 27th through September 1st at Bank of the James Stadium. Join us on Thursday night for College Night as we have special discounts for all of our local college students. In case you were curious, yes, it's still Thirsty Thursday. Then on Friday, we'll celebrate Christmas a few months early with a special Southpaw Snow Globe giveaway. Be sure to say goodbye to baseball for 2024 by getting your tickets today at Lynchburg-Hillcats.com.
You're listening to the 30th anniversary season of Lynchburg Hillcats Baseball.
Well, if you tuned in to see the debut of Rafe Schlesinger, now's your time to turn off the TV. His night is done after two innings of work. He gave up only one hit, no runs, no walks, and two strikeouts for Schlesinger. He'll give way to Melquis Hernandez. Hernandez has been a starter for much of his time in Lynchburg. He's 1-1. With a 3.86 ERA in just over 16 innings, 13 strikeouts, but command, Connor, with 13 walks has been his biggest downfall.
Yeah, it has. He walked three in his last outing against Salem. He went 3 2/3 inning, gave up five hits, three earned runs, and then the aforementioned three walks on three strikeouts. That was in a start.
Into center field, past the glove of Napchik for a base knock. As Presenso goes first pitch swinging. The second hit of the night for the Mudcats.
First outing for Hernandez where he's coming out of the bullpen in a piggyback role. Strange to see Schlesinger go out of the ballgame so early. I mean, you would think he would at least get three at the minimum, especially with how well he was pitching.
You'd have to imagine that that was a planned decision.
Yeah.
Only going two innings, but I'm kind of shocked that they used him as an opener and not as a actual relief pitcher. No, Keith Hernandez. Came up just a few weeks ago as that misses upstairs for ball one. Hernandez was assigned on August 1st to Lynchburg from the Complex League. 1-1 in there for a strike. Mercado batting .182, one home run, four RBIs. Runner takes off for second. The check swing in the zone, the throw down, and in time they got him. Braceno retired. He's caught stealing. A beautiful throw by Logan Clark. As you don't want to test the arm of the Hillcats backstop. Mercado now with the bases empty. But what a dart from Logan Clark.
Great throw. It was a good slide. Almost got under the tag, but Clark put it on him.
The 1-1. Grounder over toward third behind the back. Aldewey with a nice pick. Across the diamond, not in time. Mercado, with some speed, beat it out. Aldewey, though, we'll give credit where credit's due. That's a tough short hop pick with your backhand side. And that prevented extra bases.
If he made that play, that would have been play of the year for me from what we've seen from the Hillcats. That is a nifty snag. Just doesn't have the arm strength to go across the diamond, but to his credit, very few guys do. That is a tough throw.
Daniel Guillarte. Step in. The runner goes again. The throw down by Clark. They're testing him. He's in there just ahead of the tag. So Mercado ends up in scoring position. For Mercado, that's his 18th stolen base of the season. Throwback behind the runner. Nothing doing. Guillarte struck out in his lone plate appearance thus far. Still scoreless. And did you see that lightning?
I did, yeah.
Beyond center field?
I saw it a little bit earlier during the break as well.
It looks like it's far enough away that it's not playing any factor in what we're participating in tonight. But with how humid it is, wouldn't be shocked to see a pop-up shower here or there. The 1-1, missing wide, two balls and a strike.
Also, with how hot and humid it's been, it feels like it could just come out of nowhere. Just a little spot like you mentioned. Guillarte, we haven't seen him out of the leadoff spot, but he has hit there pretty often for Carolina.
The 2-1 runner takes for third, a breaking ball upstairs. Clark with a throw down on line, on time. Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, that ain't gonna happen, says Logan Clark. See, guns down Mercado. And there's two away as Daniel Guillarte now at the base is empty. Another good throw by Logan Clark, and we're starting to see just the defensive ability of the Hillcats catcher. 3-1 fouled away, full count. That one, Aldewey didn't even have to move his glove to place the tag. Hernandez rocks, kicks, delivers the payoff. A little low below the knees, and Guillarte draws ball four. We'll see if they try and test Clark's arm again. They've done it three times, failed twice.
Guillarte, that's now his 59th walk on the season, which ties the seventh place leader in the Carolina League as far as ball fours are considered. And he does like to run. He's got 40 stolen bases on the season.
They'll throw over. And here comes the heckler complaining about the throw over.
You know, for Hernandez, 2 outs in the inning, but every base runner he's seen has gotten on. 2 singles and then a walk most recently to Guillarte. So to have 2 down with just a runner on first feels awfully fortunate for the left-hander, and you can thank your battery mate, Logan Clark, for a lot of the reason why.
All three batters have reached in the inning. Runner leaning, and they throw over again. Wouldn't be shocked to see Guillarte take off, but this could be an opportunity where a pitch out. Don't see him very often anymore. Runner holds, and misses low ball one. It's interesting. When you look at Guillarte at first base, his angle, his body angle, isn't toward the pitcher necessarily. It's more toward the second base back. The 1-0. Chopper toward third, but foul. 1-1.
You want to get aggressive on the base paths and try to score some early runs as pure Carolina, especially against Lynchburg, as they struggle to do that so often. But also, you got to be careful. You've already run into 2 outs on the base paths, and one of them was a steal of third. So I think you want to be a little bit cautious with Guillarte over at first here.
The 1-1, he takes off. The pitch is in the zone for a called strike. Another good throw. Did he get him? The hat trick for Logan Clark. Don't run on Clark. 3 times they test him in the inning, and 3 times he retires him on the bases. That was Logan Clark's Mona Lisa. We head to the bottom of the third inning, still scoreless in Lynchburg on the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network.
Lynchburg Hillcats are ready for a summer of fun with a fresh slate of weekly promotions for you and your family to enjoy. Every Tuesday, get a free ticket to the next Tuesday home game as part of our Two for Tuesday promotion. Wednesday is Weenie Wednesday with hot dog deals each week, and Thursday will bring back our traditional Thirsty Thursday with drink specials all night long. On Friday, join us for Freebie Friday for a new giveaway each week. We'll have fireworks every Saturday night, and kids can eat free each Sunday during the season. Get your tickets today at Lynchburg-Hillcats.com.
This summer, we're going from minor league baseball to major fun. Whether you're just stopping by or looking for that grand slam getaway, Wyndham rewards everyone. Start earning points on your next qualified by Wyndham hotel stay and redeem them for minor league baseball tickets and experiences all summer long. Not a Wyndham rewards member? Join for free at WyndhamRewards.com. Restrictions apply. Visit WyndhamRewards.com for more details.
Alongside Connor Young, here's the voice of Lynchburg Hillcats baseball, Jason Prill.
Well, number 12, the new pitcher for the Mudcats, Ryan Rivera, as Mason Molina's day is done. As the top of the order due up, so only two innings from each of the debutees. As Molina's day is done, let's take you through the numbers on him, Connor, and then you'll take us through the numbers on Rivera. Molina, two innings, two hits, no runs, one walk, three strikeouts as Tommy Hawk now down the count 0-1 to Brian Rivera.
Rivera on the year has an ERA of 5.63 through 16 innings pitched. He just was called up to Carolina in early August. His last outing, he ran 3 2/3 innings, gave up 6 hits on 6 earned runs, 5 walks, but 8 strikeouts. And that's not even the most he's struck out in a single outing this year. He struck out 9 in Game 2 of a doubleheader against Fredericksburg on August 10th. So he's got strikeout stuff, but the command can be an issue for Rivera.
Hawk grounds it foul, 1-2. One-two pitch, a little topper foul, first base side. Hawk struck out looking in his first plate appearance. He was not a fan of the call. It was a beautiful breaking ball that caught the inside part of the plate. Then the second inning, the Hillcats were able to load up the bases against Molina, but they left them loaded. A 1-2 offering popped up toward left field. Mercado ranging over, and out of play it goes. And Hawk will stay alive.
And I get it. You want to save these college arms and make sure you're not thrusting them right into more baseball after finishing up their collegiate seasons. But it's a bummer we don't get to see more of Mason Molina and Rafe Schlesinger. They both were pretty impressive.
The 1-2. Slow chopper toward third. The third baseman cuts off the shortstop as Briseno retires Hawk for out number one. Another strikeout victim of Molina. Welby and Francisca digging in.
Francisca, he's lived up to the top 30 prospect reputation he has. We've seen the bat-to-ball skills. We've talked about his fielding ability. We've even seen some pop. He has a home run on the season, a slugging percentage above 400. And his average at 325 and on-base percentage above 400 are the tops on the team for players who have played at least 20 games on the roster. That's the point we're at this junction of the season. If you played 20 games with the Hillcats in 2024, you're almost a vet at this point.
Check swing in the outside corner, called a strike regardless. Also named to the Complex League All-Star team. One of technically three, if you count Bresnahan, three players named from the Guardians organization. That missed in tight. Hervis Alfaro, also one of the honorees. Bresnahan, who was traded to San Francisco, was named the Complex League Pitcher of the Year. Fouled back, 2-2, it remains. And we never got to see him in Lynchburg.
Right.
But he made one start, and it looked pretty solid.
Did.
He was supposed to start the day that he got traded. Ground ball over toward first. The second baseman will back him up in a flip over. Two down.
Nice play there by Baez. Another top prospect in this game on the Milwaukee side of things. He just listed as a third baseman, second baseman, and has good fielding grade. You see it right there.
Luis Marejo stepping in now. He golfs one to deep left field. Mercado, though, underneath it as he just didn't get a full barrel. Inning over. We head to the fourth. Still scoreless. Connor Young will take us for the next couple innings as we step aside on Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network.
There's a weekend in July where the baseball world revolves around a village in upstate New York. Hall of Fame Induction Weekend in Cooperstown is an unforgettable experience full of family-friendly activities and memorable moments. Make your plans today for July 19th through the 22nd for the induction of Adrian Beltre, Todd Helton, Jim Leland, and Joe Maurer, the class of 2024. Visit baseballhall.org today for the entire schedule. See you in Cooperstown.
You've probably heard the old saying, the best things in life are free. But do you believe it? The Lynchburg Hillcats want to make sure you and your kids do. Sign your kids up for Southpaw's Free Kids Club and experience the best free activity your money can't buy. All Kids Club members receive complimentary tickets to five designated Kids Club games, Virginia 529 Fun Zone passes for the whole season, and exclusive autograph sessions with players. Kids 12 and under can sign up at Lynchburg-Hillcats.com to activate their Kids Club membership today.
It's time for a quick check of the Carolina League scoreboard. Back inside Bank of the James Stadium, here's Jason Prill.
Take a look at the out-of-town Carolina League scoreboard. Fredericksburg, Annapolis, it's been a back-and-forth series through the first two games, and it continues into the third. 1-1 as they've played two heading into the top of the third inning from Atrium Health Ballpark. 1-0 lead for Down East. They're just getting started in Myrtle Beach as the Wood Ducks take on the Pelicans. Salem Delmarva, 1-0 score for the away team, as well as the Sox lead the Birds from Arthur W. Purdue Stadium. Columbia and Augusta, no score, along with Fayetteville and Charleston. They've just gotten through the first inning for those two South Division rivals. 1-0 count to Juan Baez, who made a nifty play over at second base. Last half inning, they motioned down to Bonet to see if he swung. And the field umpire rules no. 2-0 count from Yervis Alfaro, who gave up a single to Briseno to start off the inning as Aldui will make a sliding grab. His throw takes Benjamin off the bag. So it'll go down as a single for Juan Baez, which just adds to my point.
You think they try to test Logan Clark's arm?
I don't think so. But they weren't dissuaded by the amount of runners he threw out last half inning. They continued to try. Aggressive base running being the name of the game for manager Nick Stanley. Hernandez, he was able to get out of the top of the third inning while every base runner reached base. Briseno, a single to lead off the inning. Mercado leads off, or follows up, I should say, with a single of his own. And then Guillarte gets on with a walk. But, as you already alluded to, Jason, each one of them gunned down by Logan Clark trying to steal a base. Briseno going for second, Mercado going for third, and then Guillarte also trying to nab second base. It's a single to lead us off here, as Juan Baez will lead off first, and with how frequently Lynchburg has one thrown over in a pickoff attempt, but also thrown out runners, you think he'd be extra careful. 3-0 count here to Eric Batonti, and you got to be careful if you're Melky's Hernandez now that you don't offer something too tempting to the slugging left-handed first baseman. He'll instead walk him on four pitches, and still every single base runner that has strolled up to the dish while Melky's Hernandez has been on the clock has reached. It's now a string of five consecutive base runners who have reached safely. Carolina is hoping they can stick around on the base pass a little longer here in the fourth than they were able to do in the third. Marco Dingis, he's one for one with a single. Already four hits for Carolina. As that gets away from Hernandez and Clark, not even Logan Clark will have a chance to throw down to third as it gets out of the webbing and by the Hillcat L behind home plate. Two runners now in scoring position for Dingis. He bats 276 on the season, just one RBI. He's a fresh call-up to the Carolina League level. He's got a chance to more than double his RBI count on the season. Carolina at this point in the year can rest easy due to their already guaranteed playoff spot they earned by winning the North Division first half crown. Lynchburg has less than 2 weeks of the season left and a lot of ground to make up in the North standings. On the year, as far as this series is concerned, Lynchburg has only won three games against Carolina, while the Mudcats have taken eight off of the Cats, and they haven't dropped a game yet this week. The Mudcats have owned Lynchburg this season. A tapper to the pitcher. It'll get past his glove. Benjamin's going to be caught in a pickle as no one was covering first in time. Christian Napchik tried to dart over and shift to the first base bag, but he wasn't going to beat Dingis, who was hustling out of the gates, and the play at home was already made as Juan Baez crossed the dish by the time Benjamin had got the ball out of his glove and cocked and fired to throw. So it's the first run of the ball game tallied by Carolina once again, and an RBI credited to Marco Dingis, who will pick up a base hit, you would have to think.
Lynchburg will have to play from behind for the third straight night. They haven't had much success so far in the first two games, dropping each one, only scoring two on Tuesday, three on Wednesday, and right now they're still scoreless in the fourth inning. Yet again, they got to find something, find any sort of momentum.
Six straight base runners have reached every single hitter that Melky's Hernandez has faced. Runners in the corners. 2-0 count to, you could argue, the most dangerous hitter in the Carolina order, Luis Castillo. His 18 homers is tied for first in the league, and his 74 RBIs are good for second.
You have to really wonder where Lynchburg would be without Logan Clark right now. He retired all three on the bases in the third inning. He hasn't had an opportunity in the fourth, but with everybody reaching against Hernandez, not necessarily clean.
Well, it's a big pitch there for the lefty. Would look like a changeup at Castillo way out in front. And it climbs Hernandez back into the count. Now evened up at 2-2. Leading off third is Eric Batonti. And for a big guy, he can run. As Hernandez will just miss the outside part of the plate. And the count will run full. Hernandez signed to Lynchburg from the Arizona Complex League on the 1st of August, and he was immediately inserted into the starting rotation, working in a piggyback role today. A looping curveball grounded to second. Christian Napchik flips to the shortstop, Francisca, but he won't get Castillo in time to turn two. So a run will score in the process, and Castillo will pick up his 75th RBI, four behind Brandon Pimentel for the Carolina League lead. 2-0 advantage for Carolina here in the Hill City.
Felt like a slow-building double play. I'm not sure if Francisca didn't think he was going to throw it for a second because it kind of looked slow getting the ball out of his glove and transitioning it to his throwing arm. I don't think they would have had a play necessarily, but it would have been a lot closer than what it was.
Garcia squares around to lay down a bunt. Can't keep it in fair territory. String of base runners still is strong, technically, with Castillo getting on via the fielder's choice. Now seven straight versus Hernandez. He's already worked for 33 pitches. Less than half of them have been for strikes. The 1-1 offering to Garcia is slapped the other way. It will get into the bullpen of the Carolina Mudcats, who don't have anyone up and warming. They're going to be trusting Brian Rivera to toe the line for a while. 1-2 count from the lefty reliever is skied straight up to center field. Tommy Hawk camps under it. Two down here in Lynchburg.
That's the first batter who did not reach against Melquis Hernandez in this ballgame. Wild to be able to say that after an inning and two-thirds.
Never know what you can find at a ballpark when you go through the turnstiles. I can't think of any time I've seen that. A pitcher going over an inning without actually retiring a batter by himself.
It's a quirky game that we get to broadcast.
David Garcia as lightning flutters over the left field wall. 244 average, no home runs, 32 RBIs. 1-for-4 with a strikeout on Tuesday. Got the day off yesterday. Back behind the plate this evening. The 1-1. Healthy hack. Comes up with nothing but air. Infield shifted to pull, favoring the left side of the infield. Christian Napchik two steps or so to the right of the second base bag. This is going to get away from Clark, and he won't have a chance to throw down, luckily for Carolina, because if he did, he'd have to like his odds. Be another wild pitch that will advance Castillo into scoring position. Carolina would love to put their foot on the gas pedal here, and it increase that 2-0 margin. Although for Lynchburg, any runs put up in the middle inning seems daunting.
You would know, Connor.
The 2-2, once again in the dirt. Clark scrambles but can't get there in time, and the count has now been drawn full, and Castillo has advanced all the way to third base in a matter of seconds.
That's three wild pitches in the inning by Melquis Hernandez. He's been spiking them in the dirt, and Clark, though he's been popping up and throwing down to second, well, his blocking has left much to be desired to this point.
Full count to David Garcia with Castillo 90 feet away. The full count pitch certainly misses. It's a fastball that just misses outside to the catcher for Carolina. Runners back on the corners. Surprised we haven't seen Tony Arnold move from his perch in the dugout.
It is pretty shocking. I was thinking the same thing. At this point, he's gone 1 2/3 and only truly retired one batter. Everyone else has reached in some capacity, and runners at the corners. It's over 40 pitches through two innings. It seems like the perfect time to have a mound visit.
Especially seeing as how Miguel Briseno was the first hitter that welcomed Melquis Hernandez into the game, and he singled to start off that long run of consecutive ace runners for the Mudcats. So he's 1-for-1, both on the day and on the series. Those clouds continue to get grayer and grayer as they surround the bank of the James Stadium. Hopefully that lightning stays far, far away as it is now. Slider from Hernandez tried to sneak it back door. Misses away from Briseno. His 2-1 swung on, looped into center. Could it get over the head of Tommy Hawk? Yes, it does, as Hawk almost collides with Marejo, pursuing that baseball all the way to the track, and that will clear the bases as all the way from first base. David Garcia scores two RBIs for Miguel Briseno and a double. Give him a 2-for-2, two-ribby evening.
Well, Hernandez doesn't have his best stuff out there today, but Hawk and Marejo miscommunicated in right center field. Neither one wanted to take command and go for it. Both pulled up, and they were probably about 3 feet from the ball each. One of them just needed to stick out their glove, and they probably would have been able to make a play. That's where you miss a guy like Jason Chirio, is you need a guy who can communicate, call everybody off, take confidence, because that's what a center fielder needs to do. Those are the balls that he needs to be communicating, whether he's got it or not, and just take command, putting your body on the line. And Churio's the kind of guy that does that. Hawk, he's a good center fielder, but that's one that a guy like Churio, I think, would have had.
Yeah, if you're Marejo there, you have to battle with not wanting to let the ball drop and look like it's your fault, but you really do need to lay off and just let Tommy Hawk get that baseball, because by the looks of things, he had it, had Marejo not inadvertently cut off his path to the baseball. But that could come down to, like you said, Tommy Hawk being more demonstrative and communicating better that he wanted to go for that ball. It's tough to tell from our seat up here in the booth.
How about this lightning show we're getting treated to, Connor?
Precursor to the Saturday fireworks show after the ball game. Righty Mercado, he's single, and his first plate appearance off Hernandez as well. 6 hits and counting now for Carolina, and 4 runs in the top of the fourth.
5 of the hits have come off of Hernandez.
Mercado, this inning, is the 8th hitter come up to the plate. The 2-0 sails way wide, and Hernandez is in all sorts of trouble.
4th wild pitch of the inning.
I mean, this just looks like something's almost wrong. Sure, he's been missing as far as getting hit in the zone. His command has struggled. He has several walks, 3 to be exact. And now what, 4 wild pitches, is it?
Yep, 4 wild pitches in 1 inning. And I think you're right, Connor. Something just seems off about his delivery.
The 3-0 just barely snags the top of the zone to give him another chance.
He's about to make his 50th pitch of the night and only 23 strikes to this point.
He will work it full, as Mercado fouls one off the backstop. Mercado, in his last plate appearance, stole second, got greedy, went for third, and Logan Clark get away with him there. The 3-2. We'll do it again. Fouled off the right side, out of play. Haven't seen Mercado yet in this series. This is our first chance to get a look at the left fielder who bats from the right side, as Hernandez will mercifully end the inning. Well-placed fastball on the outside half that Mercado can't quite reach. 4 runs across, though, for Carolina as they bat 8 in the top of the fourth. The Hillcats have their work cut out for them, as they'll grab the bats and head to the bottom of the fourth inning on the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network.
Hey, Hillcats fans. Has your big bank just closed its doors? Come on over to Bank of the James. We make banking better in just 3 easy steps. First, stop by Bank of the James to open your account. Second, bring your current checking statement so we can help you with recurring transactions. And third, enjoy banking the way it should be. Why Bank of the James? We're your strong, local bank, and we're committed to you. Putting community first for 24 years. Come on over to Bank of the James.
Are you a fan of fireworks or collecting sports memorabilia? Or maybe instead of the bar, you want to spend your nights at the ballpark. Whatever your passion, the Lynchburg Hillcats have a mini plan package for you. Make sure to secure your tickets for every Thirsty Thursday, Freebie Friday, or Fireworks Show Saturday with one of our dated mini plans. Craving more baseball? Sign up for our 30-game mini plan. Not sure what games you want to go to? The Hillcats offer undated mini plans as well. For more information and to purchase your 2024 mini plan, visit Lynchburg-Hillcats.com.
Back inside Bank of the James Stadium for the middle innings, here's Connor Young.
Well, Jason, the Hillcats certainly have their backs up against the wall now. At this point in the season, it seems like every game is must-win. And they just surrendered four in the top of the fourth. It's an offense for Lynchburg that has struggled mightily in this series. Do or die if you're Lynchburg at this point.
You got to make a move. You can't keep pushing it off. You're down six games and you have, what, nine more to play after tonight? Granted, you do play the first place team, but Carolina has an opportunity to surpass them. It's just... time is of the essence.
Yeah.
No more messing around. You can't wait and hope that things fall into your lap, because that's not going to happen. You got to make a move and you got to win ball games. That's the simple end all be all of this situation. If you go in to Fredericksburg down four games or more, I don't think you have a shot.
It's not that they're mathematically eliminated or that there's no hope as far as their postseason concerns go. It's just you need to see some urgency out there. I think that's what I'm looking for. You know, baseball's a tough game. Hitting's difficult. It's going to come and go as far as your successes as a team are concerned. But at this point in the game, it feels like you've got to prove something. It's game three. We've seen this already for two straight games. The offense has to come alive at some point, or at least show some urgency in trying to accomplish that. Christian Napchick, his on-base percentage at .377, which is right near the top of the Carolina League. The 2-2 pitch is lasered into center. Moving over is Garcia to the left side. He'll give way to Mercado for the first out of the inning.
It seems like maybe this outfield pairing of Mercado and Garcia communicates a little bit better, because we saw the other night with Rodriguez in center field, he didn't have as good of a communication with whoever was in left field because they were converging and nearly colliding several times.
Christian Napchick's on-base percentage good for eighth in the Carolina League as it stands. It'll drop a little after that flyout. Logan Clark, he's singled, and Juan Benjamin followed him up with a base hit of his own with one out in the second. Nothing ended up coming of it despite the bases being loaded for Lynchburg with two down in that inning. Just two hits, Clark and then Benjamin's. All Lynchburg has to show to this point of the ball game. And Clark once again puts together another at bat that you can be proud of. 2-1 count as the Lightning persists. Far off in the distance.
Got to give a good shout out to our production crew. They keep cutting to a wide angle, the left field wall. And you can see the Lightning in a distance. It looks absolutely incredible and impressive as it's just flashing all over the place. Far enough away that we can keep playing, but close enough for us to be able to sit back and enjoy.
Close enough to make the grounds crew a little nervous as well.
Saw the head groundskeeper out there talking to the umpires, letting them know the Lightning's far enough away. It's probably about 30 minutes up the road. Don't have to stop play right now.
Ball four, Logan Clark will reach. First walk issued for Rivera, and the second walk of the game that Lynchburg has been able to benefit from. This is a team that loves to get on via the walk, especially earlier in the season. They have drawn the most walks in all the Carolina League at 557, but a lot of that was guys like Jason Chirio, even Ralphie Velasquez, and we talked about it during his time here, but maybe not enough. His on-base percentage was sky high, just like that fly ball. As Juan Benjamin lofts one into right field, a lazy flyer for Castillo to put away. And just like that, two down for Lynchburg. Bennett Thompson, he's been in a bit of a rough patch, despite putting some good contact on the baseball. He took an 0-for-3 yesterday. He was the catcher for the Hillcats in Game 2, just the DH here this evening. Should have a little bit more time to focus on his at-bats, but he's just 1-for-24 through his first 7 games for the Hillcats this season, dating back to August 15th when he made his Lynchburg debut. We've seen Logan Clark impress behind the plate this evening, but Bennett Thompson's a guy who I have been impressed by his work ethic behind the dish. Love to see that bat translate as well. Seems like he's taking steps in the right direction. Just a matter of time before he starts getting on a hot streak of his own. That's going to find the bottom of the zone, according to William Pascal, home plate umpire. Two away, 1-2 count to the righty Bennett Thompson, who thought about it. It's a good changeup from Brian Rivera, flirting with the outside part of the plate. Thompson holds off, and he makes the right decision. Rivera on the year, 0-1, 5.63 ERA. 3 games started, 1 game out of the bullpen. Now make it 2 after his relief appearance today. Fastball upstairs will draw it even. 20 strikeouts in just 16 innings coming into today for Rivera. He has not logged a strikeout against Lynchburg quite yet. He has struggled with command and allowing free passes this year with the Mudcats. He'd already allowed 1 this inning. 1 ball away from walking back-to-back hitters. He'll get away with that pitch. It's a slider on the inside half. Bennett Thompson was halfway up the line. He thought he had ball 4. He's hoping to run away from the call of William Pascal, who will draw him back to the dugout as Lynchburg has been shut out for 4 straight innings to start off the ball game. 4-0 lead for Carolina. We've played 4. We head to the 5th on the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network.
The Virginia Commonwealth Games are back this summer in Lynchburg, Virginia, on the campus of Liberty University. Be a part of the tailgate party and opening ceremonies kickoff celebration. For more information, visit CommonwealthGames.org.
Tonight's broadcast is directed and produced by Virch. Virch elevates your broadcast by supplementing your production staff with experienced switchers and operators. The graphics you're seeing on our broadcast tonight are powered by Virch's all-new graphics engine, offering advanced stats and personalized graphics on a budget. Visit www.virch.co to give your fans the next-gen viewing experience.
You're listening to Hillcats Baseball on the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network.
We can say goodbye to Melquis Hernandez as he is relieved of his duties in favor of Donovan Zach. Let's take a look at where Hernandez's numbers ended up after he got out of the 4th inning, not before Carolina roughed him up for 4 runs, all of them earned. 5 hits, 3 walks, 1 strikeout, 2 innings pitched for both Hernandez and Schlesinger, although the Miami product had a little bit of a better time here at the Bank of the James Stadium. For Zach, 1-0 record, 3.18 ERA, 4 games pitched, all out of the bullpen, 5 2/3 innings, 2 hits, 2 earned runs, 7 walks to just 6 strikeouts. He does play to contact often. Not going to have overwhelming strikeout stuff, both considering the fastball and the breaking pitches. Can limit hard contact when he's on his game, but when he's not, the walks run up a little higher than you'd like. He was good against Salem in his last outing. He went 1 2/3 innings against the Red Sox, giving up 1 walk on no hits, no runs, picking up his first win as a Hillcat. 1-0 count right away to Daniel Guillarte. Guillarte has walked and struck out so far today. He's a patient hitter. He's got 59 walks on the year, good for 7th in the Carolina League, and also can set the table well for the Mudcats. 66 runs scored this season, which is the 5th most in all of the Carolina League. Talk about a leadoff guy. Clearly where Guillarte is most at home. 2-2 count. Aguilarte swings through a fastball. He'll take time. Lynchburg already using three pitchers as they just enter the fifth. Donovan Zach, one of the stronger starts out of the trifecta. Lynchburg arms as first hitter he sees, he'll set down on strikes.
It's a good first batter by Donovan Zach, especially considering how Melquise Hernandez's outing went. He just wanted a guy who's going to come out, throw strikes, and force the issue. That's something that the Hillcats had not had to this point. And Zach needs to get rid of something. Not sure what it is. But the wind now blowing straight toward home plate. And the wind has really picked up.
Feels like something could be brewing. We'll see. The sky has turned from gray to black. Tough to tell if that's due to the time of night we're getting towards or if it's something more ominous.
Looks like the grounds crew is over by the tarp just in case that a storm inches closer. When I checked the radar, it looked like there was something to the west of Roanoke, but heading in this direction around 9 o'clock. But it seems to be approaching quicker and quicker as the wind has really picked up.
Intimidating scenes over the high walls of the Bank of the James Stadium. Donovan Zach, a physically intimidating lefty in his own right, who played his college ball in his home state of New Jersey at Rutgers University. He only pitched one season at Rutgers, where he dominated as a 20-year-old. He's from Summit, New Jersey. We talked about some Northeast baseball stars making their way to the professional level. And Donovan Zach, a headliner of that group. Juan Baez will check in, and he's already worked a 1-2 count as Zach has continued to attack the zone. Baez, the 27th ranked prospect in the Brewers organization. He was named an Arizona Complex League All-Star last year after working a 370 average and 71 total hits over 48 games here at the single A level. He still has a 275 average, but that's going to drop right with the fastball with good sinking action that found the outside part of the strike zone for Donovan Zach. Back-to-back strikeouts, the first of the swinging variety, the second looking to start off the relief appearance for the left-hander. From one top prospect in the Brewers organization to another, and one former Arizona Complex League All-Star to another, as we talked about, Eric Patonti picking up that recognition this year. It's compared to Baez's 2023 recognition. He'll chop one foul sharply. Fight off a good fastball on the inside part of the plate to move it to 1-1. Patonti in 2023 did struggle with the swing and miss, and we've seen that at the single A level in 2024 as he swords at a good curveball that is ruled a swing and miss. Patonti last year whipped on 31% of the pitches he saw over his small Arizona Complex League sample. And his 183 average reflects the swing and miss concerns, but the seven home runs also represents the power that is contained in that boomstick of a bat. You saw it on display just one night ago.
We talked about how you'll trade some strikeouts for home runs, but I think they would like to see him get his average a bit up.
Can't swing at that pitch. It's up in between the shoulder blades. 94-mile-an-hour fastball as well. That's not a slider or a curve that gets away from Zach. That is an absolute heater.
Square in the back of Patonti, and no harm, no foul. Zach took the blame. He tapped his chest, said, my bad. It slipped out of his hand. I think the wind might be having a bit of an impact.
Yeah.
It's not very often, especially in this ballpark where the wind is blowing straight toward home plate. That's got to feel a little bit weird and could be knocking Zach off balance.
could also be playing tricks on the outfielders if this wind persists in the direction it is now, as anything with any loft to it is going to be batted back towards the infield. 1-0 pitch to Dingus. Leaving up the count at 1-1. 2-for-2 day for the designated hitter. With an RBI as well. Center field. As Tommy Hawk battles the wind. With the Wake Forest alum. Wins the battle. Donovan Zach, a breath of fresh air after a disappointing outing from Melquis Hernandez. He settles the storm, which is brewing here in the Hill City. 4-0 Carolina Mudcats lead it as we head towards the home half of the fifth here on the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network.
Lynchburg Regional Airport is going strong. For many years now, Lynchburg's low fares have been among the most competitive in the area, and our conveniently scheduled flights offer easy connections on American Airlines through Charlotte to over 170 nonstop destinations worldwide. So, check the great round-trip airfares currently being offered by visiting flylyh.com today and click Book Now. Prices are subject to change without notice, and certain restrictions apply. Advance purchase is required, and availability is limited. We're ready when you're ready. Check Lynchburg first.
We get it. Finding activities for groups can be difficult. The Lynchburg Hillcats want to make your life easier with our special group outings packages. No matter your group, spend the night out at the ballpark enjoying baseball with your favorite people. All group ticket packages come with discounted tickets, a PA and video board welcome, and the possibility for first pitches and on-field activities. Want to make the night extra special? Sign up for a group picnic and let the Hillcats take care of the details. For more information on groups or picnics, visit Lynchburg-Hillcats.com.
Back inside Bank of the James Stadium for the middle innings, here's Connor Young.
Barrett Reebok will lead off the bottom of the fifth. He reached on a walk in his first plate appearance. Reebok has been turning it around at the dish. His average only at 186, but it's continuing to climb over his last several games. Reebok has a four-game hit streak going, which is a nice start. And during the streak, we'll get to it in a second, as he wastes no time lifting one into right field. One out. During this streak, which he will look to continue, he's gone 4-for-14 with an RBI, stolen base, and a walk. Just a .308 average during that time, which is certainly an improvement to his less than 200 mark. But he's been pretty much going one base hit per day, which you'll take if you're Lynchburg. Especially on a day like today where they only have two base knocks to their name. Franall Dewey, 0-for-1, getting his first start of the series in Game 3. Dribbles one. Ended up fair, but it looks like it was fouled off Aldewey himself. So it'll be ruled foul.
Aldewey almost had a huge base hit to give Lynchburg the lead in the second inning, but a good play by Batanti, beating into the bag, diving his way back there to beat Aldewey. That could have been trouble had either both he knocked it down and didn't make the play or got underneath his glove, or Aldewey beat him to the bag. Fantastic play by the first baseman.
Breaking pitch from Rivera fouled off down the left side for Aldewey. It caught a lot of plate. Aldewey behind the pitch. Mason Molina, good two-inning open. It's tough to call it a start, although, of course, technically that is what it was. And then Rivera has picked up right where he left off. He's been a quick worker, especially recently. But much like Molina, Lynchburg hasn't been able to get to him.
You know, Connor, I want to ask you, after this play.
Chopped to Batanti, same spot as his last three unassisted in the scorebook, and you'll write the same mark here.
Did you see the report about what Major League Baseball is thinking about for starting pitching?
About the innings minimum, is it?
Yeah, the six innings or 100 pitches.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
I've heard most pitchers say they don't mind it, but to me, I don't really understand how that's productive for the pitchers, but I also am by no means an expert on how that's going to help pitchers' arms. I just want there to be a conversation around a change in that regard, because clearly something needs to happen. Now, I'm not an expert as far as what those answers are, but as long as the conversation's happening, I'm happy. What about you?
I like it. I think it puts more of a priority on command and not necessarily on velocity.
Sure.
I understand why we've turned toward velocity as a sport, but personally, I think that there still needs to be a market for command pitching. When you think about all the great command guys that have come through the game of baseball, and they have a longer longevity, not
yep.
just in every single game. In their career, they seem to be more well-built to play deep into their career. So I would like to see something. I don't know if 100 pitches is the right number. Maybe 90, I think that could be a fair mark. But I do think I would like to see command become more of a topic.
Well, Brian Rivera has had tons of command at his disposal so far today. He places a slider on the outside part of the plate just as well as you could spot it. It's the second strike count for Tommy Hawk, and Lynchburg goes down 1-2-3 for the third straight inning. 4-0 as we head to the sixth.
If you're looking for a home, auto, or life insurance plan, look no further. State Farm has been offering great coverage at surprisingly low rates for over 100 years. Stop in and see one of the four Central Virginia insurance agents. For Lynchburg, call Chip Harvey. For Rustburg, contact Jack Dean. For Appomattox, call Sarah Saunders. And for Madison Heights, visit Kim Z. Gardner. Contact your local State Farm agent today.
It's your last chance to catch the Lynchburg Hillcats at home this season as they square off against the Carolina Mudcats August 27th through September 1st at Bank of the James Stadium. Join us on Thursday night for College Night as we have special discounts for all of our local college students. In case you were curious, yes, it's still Thirsty Thursday. Then on Friday, we'll celebrate Christmas a few months early with a special Southpaw Snow Globe giveaway. Be sure to say goodbye to baseball for 2024 by getting your tickets today at Lynchburg-Hillcats.com.
Hillcats baseball is in full swing. It's time for a quick game recap on the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network. Here's Jason Prill.
Jason, I'm starting to feel like a broken record here on the game recap. 4-0, Carolina leads it. 6 hits for the Mudcats, just 2 for Lynchburg. All of the 4 runs we've seen in this ballgame came in the top of the 4th. 1 error for the Hillcats as well. No fielding miscues for the Mudcats at this point. As far as the hits are concerned, Baez with 1, Dinges with 2, Briseno with 2, Mercado with 1 for Lynchburg, just Logan Clark and Juan Benjamin with base hits, and they picked them up in back-to-back fashion. Not able to score a run.
The middle innings have not been the Hillcats' friends this season, as it seems like whenever they get to innings 4, 5, and 6, maybe it's you, Connor.
It might be.
Maybe it's you that the Hillcats tend to struggle at the dish. They typically start the game maybe with a run or two most nights or get something in the first 3 innings. But then in the later innings is when they do almost all of their damage.
I have been rather unlucky this week. Of course, the Castillo home run, right as I was congratulating Yogli Garcia on his good outing, Wellbeing Francisca, that is, makes the play at short for the first out of the inning.
Yeah, that was just an unfortunate timed moment for you, Connor. You're praising how well he's been pitching all night, and then all of a sudden he issues a mammoth blast to Castillo, which ended up kind of being the backbreaker for the Hillcats.
Going to watch my words on Donovan Zach's performance so far today, as it has been exactly what Lynchburg needed in a lot of regards. Yosuar Garcia, he's 0-2. Going back to the conversation we talked about last half inning, Jason, one thing I hear a lot of pitchers say about the velocity conversation, which is one that needs to be had, and I understand where they're coming from, and I'm not sure if this is the end-all, be-all truth, but I think a lot of their sentiments is, you know, once you open Pandora's box as far as throwing 95, 96, 97 plus every outing as a starter, as Clark and Benjamin will pursue this to the Mudcats dugout, and Clark goes up and over. There he is right off the top step. That'll get him a Hillcat clap. Talk about all out. Logan Clark is leaving it all on the field. And in the Mudcats dugout.
I don't think we've seen one of those yet this year.
No.
Guy tumbling over the dugout. The unfortunate thing is, it's not going to look as impressive because I think the ball landed behind him after it bounced off the netting.
But he was coming in hot.
He was coming in hot. But a great play by by Logan Clark, who's had a heck of a night.
Yeah.
He just disappeared into the dugout.
Yeah, you just saw his cleats go up, and then he was out of the dugout in a flash, almost just as fast as he went over the railing. 0-2 for Donovan Zach. Chopped to third base. Fran Aldui, chest high, will step and fire. Out of the reach of Juan Benjamin. That'll be another error committed by Lynchburg, the second of the game.
Aldui's arm is not built for third base. He seems to me to be more of a second baseman in terms of the arm that he has. You got to be able to get that ball up. You got to make that throw. That's an easy play, one that should be had. And now Zach behind the eight ball a little bit with a runner aboard when there should be two down.
David Garcia will step in. Yeah, I mean, that's as easy as it's going to get at third base as far as a play is concerned. But, Jason, to get your thoughts on the idea of, you know, once you go 95-plus, you can't go back.
Yeah, it seems to be the trend.
Throw down from Clark. Is it number four? No. Yoswar Garcia with the swipe.
It is the trend of professional baseball, and the question that seems to be asked is how hard can they get? Can they get to 105 consistently? Can the body get to 110 consistently? And you're right. They've opened Pandora's box, and unleashed is what we're seeing now. And unfortunately with that has also been a slew of arm injuries.
Yep.
And guys are training.
Good jump from Yoswar Garcia to third, and he's going to get in there no problem. He had a very aggressive lead. Donovan Zach was zeroed in at the dish as far as the at-bat for David Garcia is concerned. And that was picked up on by Garcia, who, along with a very aggressive lead, had an even more aggressive jump. He's now 90 feet away from scoring with just one out. 2-0 fought off the other way out of play. It's interesting because with the innings minimum as the infield comes in or pitch count minimum is concerned, it would be interesting to see how much that impacts velocity. You would think it would be a significant margin, but I like that idea a lot more than a speed limit, which I think was being thrown around earlier in the conversations. That's so hard to navigate and control as a pitcher. And I don't know, it just, that seems almost a step too far in the other direction for me.
Yeah, that involves a lot of changing of how a guy pitches,
right,
per se, and could even open up for more arm injuries.
Sure.
If a guy has to switch to a way that he's not comfortable and a way his muscle memory hasn't been created, that can cause injury as well. So I don't think a speed limit is the option. I don't think that's where Major League Baseball should be headed. I understand they have to do something. I think if you're going to put a limit, it's got to be innings or pitch count.
Ball four, runners on the corner after the walk issued to David Garcia. Just the first walk that Donovan Zach, I should say, has handed out. It'll bring up Miguel Briseno, who is 2-for-2 with two RBIs from the 8 hole, no less. His two hits in the ball game is the same total Lynchburg's been able to put together as a team.
The Mudcats have had great success from their 8-hole. I mean, Yoswar Garcia yesterday was batting in the 8-hole, and that's a guy that, when he's hitting in the 8-hole, that's a stacked lineup.
Yeah.
And to get two hits from Briseno tonight, also looking solid. And David Garcia in game number one, he singled and scored. So great production from the bottom half of the lineup, specifically that 8 spot.
First pitch, a fastball that crowds Briseno. Second one fouled off the screen. This is our first look at Carolina in person, Jason. And, you know, a lot of it clicks for me. I see why they are 73-47. They just seem like a well-oiled baseball team that is adequate, if not far above average, in just about every category you look to, both statistically and the eye test as well.
From my vantage point, this is a team that could take down Fredericksburg in the postseason.
Yeah.
That's my analysis and read of the situation. I don't think there's many teams in the Carolina League right now that could beat this ball club. We don't get to see the South that often. I know what Kannapolis did in the first half. I know what their numbers say they're doing in the second half. We haven't seen Charleston, and so it's kind of hard to give a read on what the South is going to do. But to me, if I was going to put money on it, record aside, what we've seen on the field,
yeah,
Mudcats are the best team.
I agree. Charleston's a wild card in that, right, just because of how good they've been, and we haven't had a chance to see them up close and personal. The 3-2 is shot into center. Tommy Hawk barely even has to move, but the runner will tag. His throw in will be just late. Sacrifice flying for Miguel Briseno. It's his third RBI from, once again, the 8th spot in the order.
Three RBIs from the 8th spot. That is production, and that's what makes Carolina so good. We talked earlier in the year about how good the lineup is 1 through 9 for Lynchburg. 1 through 9 for Carolina has been tearing apart the Hillcats.
Yeah. Talked about Fredericksburg. They're a flashy team. They have some things you like as far as the power is concerned. As Jordan Smith will come out to get Donovan Zach. We'll continue that conversation after we take a pause as Jordan Smith goes to the bullpen.
It's your last chance to catch the Lynchburg Hillcats at home this season as they square off against the Carolina Mudcats August 27th through September 1st at Bank of the James Stadium. Join us on Thursday night for College Night as we have special discounts for all of our local college students. In case you were curious, yes, it's still Thirsty Thursday. Then on Friday, we'll celebrate Christmas a few months early with a special Southpaw Snow Globe giveaway. Be sure to say goodbye to baseball for 2024 by getting your tickets today at Lynchburg-Hillcats.com.
You've probably heard the old saying, the best things in life are free. But do you believe it? The Lynchburg Hillcats want to make sure you and your kids do. Sign your kids up for Southpaw's Free Kids Club and experience the best free activity your money can't buy. All Kids Club members receive complimentary tickets to 5 designated Kids Club games, Virginia 529 Fun Zone passes for the whole season, and exclusive autograph sessions with players. Kids 12 and under can sign up at Lynchburg-Hillcats.com to activate their Kids Club membership today.
You're listening to Hillcats Baseball on the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network.
Ward Kellen Vasquez will be the reliever called upon to close out the top of the 6th inning. Vasquez, much like Renny Artiles, who had his 13-inning scoreless streak snapped last night in the top of the 9th inning by the Mudcats, has been quite the revelation in 2024. He's got a 2.98 ERA at the moment. And you look back at his two previous tenures with Lynchburg, the first one short, only 5 1/3 innings in 3 games pitched with the Hillcats in 2022. But he did pitch to an 8.44 ERA during that time, so not great. 2023, a little better, but still you'd like to see improvement. A 4.63 ERA through 60 innings pitched just about. And you have seen that improvement in 2024, Jason. He looks like a guy who should be up for contention for a call-up either by the end of this year, which is vastly and rapidly approaching, or to start off 2025.
This is the best version of Ward Quellen that we've seen yet in his professional tenure, and part of it has to do with he is experienced at this level, but he's looked sharp. He's been consistent. He's not leaving balls over the heart of the plate as he was in years past, and that was his big downfall. Is he would throw strikes, but they would be hittable.
Yep.
This year, he's mixing his pitches well. His velocity is up a couple ticks, and it's causing guys to roll over or swing and miss.
The 1-1 curve is blocked by Clark.
And that's the pitch I think I've been most impressed with, his curveball. He's throwing it for strikes, but he's also throwing it in positions that are hard to do anything with. He would leave a lot of hanging curveballs in the past that guys would tee off on. But this year, it's been sharp more times than not.
The 2-1 offering misses away. 3-1 count for Mercado. Vasquez, he went three innings against Salem in his last outing, gave up three hits, no walks, three strikeouts, three runs, none of them earned. And when you look back at that Salem series, the amount of unearned runs Lynchburg pitchers either got away with or were unfortunate in, not receiving, but of taking place due to bad fielding behind them. You got the two different ways to look at it. It is startling. It's either a case, and I think it's a little of both, of some poor fielding or some pitchers, sure, they don't end up with the runs being charged to them, but they're just allowing too many base runners. Runner takes off in the 3-2 count. We'll have to try it again as it's fouled off again by Mercado, who's not going down without a fight.
We've seen it from a couple guys this year, Connor. Yorman Gomez may be the most recognizable of the names that have had that unique issue. And Gomez, it seemed like he had up and down starts. So it's not just all the defense.
Right.
There's been a lot of base runners, and a lot of the runs have come with two outs. And if there's an error in the inning, and once two outs hits, everything else is unearned no matter what happens.
Vasquez pauses at the belt as that is looped right into the glove of the shortstop, well-being Francisca, to end the inning. Vasquez does his job. He gets out of the sixth with just one run across, charged to Donovan Zach. 5-0, the Carolina Mudcats lead it as we head towards the bottom of the sixth.
The Virginia Commonwealth Games are back this summer in Lynchburg, Virginia, on the campus of Liberty University. Be a part of the tailgate party and opening ceremonies kickoff celebration. For more information, visit CommonwealthGames.org.
The Lynchburg Hillcats are ready for a summer of fun with a fresh slate of weekly promotions for you and your family to enjoy. Every Tuesday, get a free ticket to the next Tuesday home game as part of our 2 for Tuesday promotion. Wednesday is Weenie Wednesday with hot dog deals each week, and Thursday will bring back our traditional Thirsty Thursday with drink specials all night long. On Friday, join us for Freebie Friday for a new giveaway each week. We'll have fireworks every Saturday night, and kids can eat free each Sunday during the season. Get your tickets today at Lynchburg-Hillcats.com.
Back inside Bank of the James Stadium for the middle innings, here's Connor Young.
Well-being Francisco will lead us off. Luis Marejo and Christian Napchik to follow. Once again, the top of the order has had some struggles today. 1-4 through now 9 plate appearances have not reached base one time so far in Game 3 against the Carolina Mudcats, although they'll have a chance to change that. And Well-being Francisco will get the first looks.
We need something. The Hillcats, this whole series, have just, the bats have gone ice cold. And I don't know if it's the pressure of trying to stay in the playoff race or if it's the exhaustion of a long season or the nerves of trying to perform in your last few opportunities before the team start to make more cuts and changes. I mean, there's a lot that could be playing into this right now, and we'll never understand completely why, but right now they're scuffling down toward the finish line.
Francisco, just 1-10 through this series. This will be his 11th at-bat. His lone base hit came in Game 1 of the series. He took an 0-4 on Wednesday. Still in there is Brian Rivera. 3 innings pitched, 2 strikeouts, no earned runs. He has been perfect out of the bullpen for the Mudcats. High fly ball, trending foul, but it will stay in play and end up in the glove of Mercado in left for the first out of the inning. Luis Marejo on a 5-game hit streak. Love to make it 6. Those 5 games strong with a base knock is the longest active streak.
He broke a string of 19 batters yesterday without reaching for the Hillcats. And that was 6 full innings of guys not getting aboard, which was an impressive streak.
First pitch swinging for the right fielder. And he will fly out to his right field counterpart in Castillo. 2 up, 2 down, as Rivera continues to seem to be in cruise control. Christian Napchik, 0-2, 0-for his last 6, will step in. Lynchburg trails 5-0. Rivera fires in a 96 miles an hour fastball into the right-handed hitter's batter's box for ball one. And Knapchick will watch another one away to get out in front of the righty reliever. Knapchick, a patient hitter through and through. Him and Jason Turio pretty much had been the two consistent hitters who did not feel the need to swing early in a count just about at any time.
And you're really starting to see the impact of losing a bat like Churio in the lineup. Everyone's trying to figure out who's going to be the guy that's stepping up, and nobody's been able to thus far because it was almost a given that Churio would get aboard two times a game.
Yeah.
And that may not seem like much from one player, but that's huge, especially in a lineup where guys just aren't getting aboard. Churio was a table setter, and now with the table not being able to be set, guys don't have anywhere to feast.
He finished with a .414 on base percentage, and that was amidst a cold streak when he got injured. Christian Knapchick doing his best to fill those big shoes as he will draw a walk. Keep the inning alive for Logan Clark, who has reached base in both of his plate appearances today. First pitch to Logan Clark. Fastball for strike one. Talked about yesterday in the pregame show about Alex Mooney making history for Lake County as Logan Clark will fly out to right to end the inning. I'll finish my point quickly. Over 30 extra base hits, 40 stolen bases. It's a mark since 2006 that the Cleveland Guardians have only had four players accomplished. Jason Churio did the same in 2024. To your point, Jason, that is a tough guy to replace. Lynchburg's feeling it here in the Hills City as they trail 5-0 headed towards the seventh. Jason Prill will lead us the rest of the way through.
Check out Creative Edge Design Incorporated for your signs, banners, and wrap services. We are a 3M certified graphics installation company backed by a 3M warranty protecting your graphics against any cracking, fading, or peeling for over 10 years. Your graphics will continue to look exactly like they did on the day they were installed. Visit us at cedi.biz for more information. Creative Edge Designs, custom designs for you.
Hey fans, are you looking to disconnect and enjoy a perfect getaway? Well, let me introduce you to Crabtree Falls Campground. With campsites right on the river, four rustic cabins, and bathrooms with hot water, Crabtree Falls Campground is your place to stay this summer. Located just an hour drive from Lynchburg, Crabtree Falls Campground is just a half-mile hike away from the tallest waterfall east of the Mississippi. Visit www.crabtreefallscampground.com or call them at 540-377-2066 to book your stay.
Alongside Connor Young, here's the voice of Lynchburg Hillcats baseball, Jason Prill.
Top seventh, Ward Kellen Vasquez on the bump for Lynchburg after coming in replace of Donovan Zach and picking up the final out of the frame. We can close the book on Zach. He went 1 2/3, no hits, one run. It was not earned after the error by Aldui. One walk and two strikeouts as Vasquez will try to give Lynchburg some depth out of the pen. First pitch by Vasquez. Misses in tight for ball one. Well, we have a moment. I do want to send my condolences out to Jim Donovan, the voice of the Cleveland Browns. Now the former voice of the Cleveland Browns. A voice that I grew up listening to and modeling a lot of my style after. And he announced today that his cancer has returned. He's been battling cancer for the last several years, and he's been in and out of Brown seasons and has fought and defeated it, I think, two or three times to this point, and it unfortunately has returned yet again to the point where He had to call it quits, and he announced his retirement today from the Cleveland Browns. And a very heartfelt letter by him to the fans, and a nice note from the Haslam family wishing him the best and thanking him for his 25 years of service. He was the voice of the Browns from when they returned in 1999 all the way up until this past season through several bouts of cancer. And now he steps aside to seek the treatment and spend time with his family and continue fighting cancer. Our thoughts and prayers are with him and his family, and it's always tough to see. Ilarte strikes out swinging for out number one, but Jim Donovan, the famed voice of the Cleveland Browns, one of the all-time greats as a football broadcaster, and being a part of the Cleveland Guardians organization down here in Lynchburg, I think it's only correct to make mention of that today, as I know it's a long uphill battle, but he's done it before, and I'm confident Jimmy D will be able to do it again, and hopefully we can see him smash guitar at Browns games one more time, as that moment last year when he made his return was just a sight to behold of him completing his battle with cancer the last time. So our thoughts are with Jimmy D and his family as the voice of the Cleveland Browns battling cancer yet again. Juan Baez at the dish, a 1-1 count on him from Ward Kellen Vasquez, fouled away for strike two. Baez on the night, 1-for-3. He singled and scored in the fourth inning. Lynchburg, they got a lot of work to do, but these late innings are the difference maker in a lot of their ball games. It's when they make their runs, it's when they make their comebacks. As the 1-2 pitch from Vasquez, breaking ball in the dirt. 2-2. Seems like the Hillcats have waited till the very end most nights, especially in this series. That's fouled away. We called them the Cardiac Cats jokingly, but it really feels like this team has taken years off of our lives, Connor, just with the way that they wait till the very last moment to do any sort of damage.
We don't have nine like the Hillcats either.
That's true. We just get one. Pitch clock violation has been called on Vasquez. The count will go full. And out goes Logan Clark. Just a frustrating series so far. They haven't been able to do anything at the dish. Their pitching has been hit or miss. And it starts at the top. Hillcat starting pitching this series just has not been where it's needed to be.
No.
Humphreys didn't go four yesterday. Caden Favors didn't go three. And Schlesinger, he wasn't supposed to go more than two. But then Melquise Hernandez, who was the piggyback guy, he only went two innings. And he can typically get you four or five. Baez swings through it for out number two, second strikeout for Vasquez. But it seems like the starting pitcher has been the telltale sign of how the game's going to go for Lynchburg.
Yeah, hopefully that'll change tomorrow with Kyle Scott, reigning Carolina League Pitcher of the Week. Tough to see him really having that bad of a stinker outing. But, you know, I was thinking, Jason, I guess we've been spoiled in some ways, but I can't think of a series that has felt like this here at home for the Hillcats this season. Now, there's some ways to go here, so they could obviously turn it around and change that sentiment. Sure, we've seen them struggle, but this has just felt like a defeated club, at least in my opinion, to this point.
And they've looked like a defeated club. It's a team that you expected them to come out with more fight, and we keep going back to it because I think it's a huge point. Jason Churio getting hurt, that's a huge loss in the order. Your best player, the best player in the Carolina League, is voted by opposing managers. As that's fouled toward left field, Reebok ranging over, he'll give it a wave as it lands out of play. 2-1. And it's hard to replace that kind of production.
Yeah.
Especially with all the other losses that the Hillcats have suffered this season. Not necessarily due to injury, but due to call-ups. I mean, if you still had guys like Ralphie Velasquez, Angel Hanau, and all the others, Wilfredo Antunez, we could be having a different conversation right now. But you lose all the guys to call-ups, Connor, And then the one guy that stuck around that has been producing at a consistently high clip since day one. That's just a blow to a team and a clubhouse that was trying to find their way toward the end of the season. A 2-2 offering to Patanti. And it's a full count as Vasquez misses wide here in the top of the seventh inning. 5-0 our score. Carolina in front. Lynchburg trying to avoid dropping below 500 in the second half. Currently sit at 27-27. Carolina looking to improve to 10 games above 500. They're a game and a half back on Fredericksburg, who trails Kannapolis in the bottom of the sixth. The payoff offering. Topper off the glove of Vasquez. Napchick will have to charge, and he'll just eat it. That's an infield single for Patanti. And, Connor, I think that might be one of the most frustrating parts of this week is Fredericksburg left the door wide open.
Yep.
Lynchburg, yes, they were five games back coming into this week. Now they're six games back, but they've made no progress despite Fredericksburg losing yesterday. They're losing again tonight. They're leaving games on the table in a situation that they can't afford to. Marco Dingis, a 2-for-3 day at the dish. Vasquez pauses at the belt. He fires. Catching the zone, strike two. Vasquez trying to send us to the stretch on a dark and windy night at Bank of the James Stadium. The 0-2 offering. Over towards short, played on a hop by Francisca. He'll go to second for the lead runner, and the inning is over. Stretch time in Lynchburg. The Hillcats down by five. They still only have two hits. We'll be back with more on the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network.
Scientech Systems is your technology partner. Whether it's business class internet, phone and TV, or their world-class IT services, Scientech is here to manage your technology needs so you can focus on what you love to do. Visit Scientech.com for a free quote today.
This summer, we're going from minor league baseball to major fun. Whether you're just stopping by or looking for that Grand Slam getaway, Wyndham rewards everyone. Start earning points on your next qualified by Wyndham hotel stay and redeem them for minor league baseball tickets and experiences all summer long. Not a Wyndham Rewards member? Join for free at WyndhamRewards.com. Restrictions apply. Visit WyndhamRewards.com for more details.
You're listening to the 30th anniversary season of Lynchburg Hillcats Baseball.
Bottom of the seventh inning, Lynchburg can't wait any longer. They trail by five, and they've yet to score a run. Five runs, seven hits, no errors for Carolina. No runs, two hits, two errors for Lynchburg. Juan Benjamin, Bennett Thompson, and Barrett Reebok will be the three due up in this frame. As how about this relief outing by Ryan Rivera?
Yeah.
He has been solid since entering at the start of the third inning. And he has only allowed two base runners, and he's pretty much shut down the Hillcats entirely.
Lynchburg has had to spend three relievers in comparison to Nick Stanley, who's only had to use Brian Rivera, who's taken the bulk of the action to this point. Not to mention how good he's been in those innings, but just not having to throw other arms at the problem is very helpful for Carolina, both for the rest of the series and beyond that.
Rivera kicks and delivers. Benjamin swings over top of it, 1-1. In the playoffs, games are managed a little bit differently. Managers get flexibility and freedom to manage how they see fit, playing their best players. Driven up the middle, and a running grab by Guillarte to keep that from finding center field, one away. And so no longer are managers bound by the strict pitch counts.
Right.
They're not bound by getting guys at bats. You play the best guys in your team. And This is the moment for the Mudcats to figure out who are the best guys coming down the stretch. And the way Rivera's pitching tonight, and really the rest of the bullpen, they're going to have some tough decisions going into the postseason.
Going back to that play by Gilarte, I've been talking about how I've been impressed with Carolina's fielding all day today, and really all series. But how many plays like that have happened, both today and on Wednesday and Tuesday, where it feels like Lynchburg had a hit stolen from them that ends up being an out? And again, it's just another reason why Carolina has been so successful both this week and on the season. You really got to work hard to find a base hit. There's not a lot of green out there.
They cover a lot of ground all across the diamond. If you don't sting it, odds are they're going to get to it.
Very few guys in this lineup know that better than Bennett Thompson. I mean, he hit the ball well yesterday. Came away with an offer.
Even had a good line out today in the second inning on a ball that was relatively barreled up. The 2-2, he was out in front of a breaking ball, and there's two down. Barrett Reebok 0-for-1. He walked in the second inning, flew out in his second at-bat, the fourth. Lynchburg only two hits. They have as many errors as they've had hits, which was the story for much of the game yesterday as well. Up above the letters, ball one to Reebok. Reebok, his home run against Down East, really set the table for a big late-game rally, and they scored five in the eighth inning. Climb all the way back and win it in extras. That was his signature moment. As it's fouled back 1-1. Otherwise, he's been relatively quiet at the dish in his Hillcat tenure. The 1-1 from Rivera. Up and in, two balls and a strike. Rivera rocks, kicks, delivers. Chopper over toward first, smothered by Patanti. He'll flip to the pitcher who drops it, and Reebok beats it out. That was an error on the pitcher. He took his eye off of it to try and find the bag and drop the baseball. So a break for the Hillcats. First error of the day for the Mudcats. And Reebok will get aboard for Fran Aldui in the bottom of the seventh inning.
You could tell there, Patanti didn't want to flip that baseball. He wanted to take it himself, but he knew he wouldn't get there. His hand was forced, and he did make the flip. But the pitcher, Rivera, clearly not comfortable on the exchange and drops the ball in the process. Like you said, here are the little windows that you're going to get against a good team if you're Lynchburg, where you finally get a guy on base. Finally, things are moving in your direction. And this is that moment where we're looking for, like we talked about earlier in the broadcast, the train to start moving in the right direction, compiling base runners. Lynchburg had a hard time with that all series long.
And how big was that second inning when Carolina was able to escape the bases loaded jam and keep the Hillcats off the board? That set the tone for the night. As after that, Lynchburg just looked deflated. Randall Dewey, he lines this toward right field. Castillo won't get there. It's going to one-hop in front of the wall. Around second, heading to third is Reebok. He's going to get the wave. The throw is cut off, and the Hillcats will get a run back on an RBI double by Randall Dewey. He missed one in the second inning. Picks up a double here in the seventh. And a much-needed RBI as Lynchburg now down by four.
I got to give some love to Randall Dewey. He's been coming up pretty clutch in moments like this throughout August, where he's gotten more playing time as that infield roster for Lynchburg has shrunk and his playing time has shot up. You know, you feel pretty comfortable with Randall Dewey strolling up to the dish with runners in scoring position, and he shows you why right there.
He's been hitting better as of late, contributing in crucial situations time and time again. It's Tommy Hawk. Lines it toward left, but was behind it. for strike one. It's his T-shirt night tonight. A T-shirt, a light blue with mustaches across the Lynchburg nameplate, the Hawk nameplate, and the number 5 on the back in honor of Mustaches for Kids, which is a local charity that raises money for a couple of different children's organizations. The 0-1 fouled away, strike two. The Hillcats, a big partner with M4K. Every November, they do a no-shave November, the front office, to raise money. Our general manager, Matt Ramstead, raised over $1,000 alone for Mustaches for Kids last November. The two-strike pitch to Tommy Hawk, and he fights it into the same spot again.
Will you be partaking in some no-shave November, Jason?
Connor, I could go no-shave 2025 and still not have facial hair. Rivera misses low, 1-2. Actually, today, our director of concessions and food and beverage here at the ballpark told me he hopes to have me for the annual Hillcat Christmas gift exchange.
Oh, no.
So that he can give me a beard roller. The 1-2 to Hawk, down and away, 2 balls, 2 strikes. Not everybody is blessed with the gift of beautiful facial hair. That's the one thing that keeps myself and Matt Ramstead from looking exactly alike. Just missed, full count.
Got some height on him, too.
I do have some height. 36 different children's charities. Just got that note from our GM. So M4K doing great work in the community. As it's fouled back to the screen, Tommy Hawk stays alive. You can check out their website, m4klynchburg.org. That's m4klynchburg.org. If you want to donate and become a part of what they're doing in the Lynchburg community. Right back to the pitcher. Hawk will be retired to end the seventh inning. Lynchburg does get a run back, though, as the RBI double by Fran Aldewey. It's an unearned run, but it's one that the Hillcats desperately needed. Lynchburg trails it by 4 as we head to the eighth on the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network.
The YMCA has been serving Lynchburg and the surrounding community for years. With 2 Central Virginia locations, the YMCA has plenty to offer for kids and adults alike. To join or check out one of the classes, camps, or programs offered by the Y, visit ymcacva.org or stop in at their downtown or Jamerson locations. The YMCA is a proud partner of Lynchburg Hillcats Baseball.
Are you a fan of fireworks or collecting sports memorabilia? Or maybe instead of the bar, you want to spend your nights at the ballpark. Whatever your passion, the Lynchburg Hillcats have a mini plan package for you. Make sure to secure your tickets for every Thirsty Thursday, Freebie Friday, or fireworks show Saturday with one of our dated mini plans. Craving more baseball? Sign up for our 30-game mini plan. Not sure what games you want to go to? The Hillcats offer undated mini plans as well. For more information and to purchase your 2024 mini plan, visit Lynchburg-Hillcats.com.
Alongside Connor Young, here's the voice of Lynchburg Hillcats baseball, Jason Prill.
Top of the eighth inning, 5-1 our score. Lynchburg getting a run back on the RBI double by Fran Aldewey. We head to the eighth where Kellen Vasquez still out there. He's gone an inning and a third, but he's been a steady arm for Lynchburg since entering. Luis Castillo, Yoswar Garcia, and David Garcia will be the three due up for the Mudcats. Castillo, I want to talk about a guy with pop at this level. Luis Castillo might take the cake. He has had several absolute mammoth shots off the bat in the last couple ball games. The 1-0 Missing down and in, 2 balls, no strikes. I mean, yesterday he had his solo shot late in the ball game. I believe it was the eighth inning. It was. And earlier in that ball game, he turned on one that went so far down the right field line that it went over the foul pole, and the umpire had to make a decision. And he ended up calling it foul, much to the dismay of Castillo. But you and I both thought it was gone.
Yep.
But to hit it over the foul pole, we haven't seen a ball hit that hard here, other than maybe Elijah Green and Luis Morejo. Taking all the way, a called strike. He's been known to swing 3-0, but deciding to lay off 3-1. Vasquez kicks, delivers. And Castillo chops it foul.
To your point on Castillo, in my opinion, much like we've talked about with Luis Morejo heading into next year being a guy that seems like a likely riser to get some more prospect hype, Luis Castillo feels like he's got to break into that top 30 for the Brewers as well. They've got a good farm system, but that pop you don't find every day.
Much like Betanti, you want his average to jump a little bit, but
sure,
he's at 215. He's still young as he lofts that into left field, ranging over his Reebok and making the grab for out number one. Castillo is only 20 years old.
Yeah.
So there's a chance he could still be with Carolina at the start of next season. But that kind of pop is something that is rare,
yeah,
at this level of baseball, specifically the Carolina League. You mentioned Brandon Pimentel and some of the other names that have come through the Carolina League this season, guys who have some pop. As that breaks in the zone for strike one. But Castillo, only being 20 years old and displaying that much energy through the bat, I mean, that's got to get prospect heads excited. The 0-1. Up and in, 1-1. Clearly his power tool is there.
Yeah.
His hit tool is what needs to improve a little bit. You look at how many RBIs he has on the year.
Yeah.
I mean, he could surpass 80 before the end of the season. 1-1. Missing wide. 2-2.
He's looked good over in the outfield and right whenever he's been tested. Hasn't had to do too much in the series. But that power, you know, that's coveted.
Vasquez rocks, kicks, delivers. Chopper toward third. Aldewey, oh, lays it into left field as he's had some nice picks at third tonight. That was not one of them.
That's one you just got to stay down on. He's trying to make a similar play to what he made closer to the line earlier in this game. But in that instance, he had some time to work through that baseball, get his body behind it, instead of going all out and hoping you get a blind stab.
It's one of those where you charge in not squared up with the baseball, and you try to swipe your glove through.
Yeah.
But it's hard to time it up, and it's hard to make sure that everything is lined up properly. David Garcia takes upstairs the throw down by Clark. Yoswar not tagged out. And Knapchick and Hawk in disbelief. Garcia thanking his lucky stars as he stands up on the bag. Looks like another runner thrown out by Logan Clark, but maybe Francisca missed the tag. The way that Garcia is getting up, though, feeling the top of his head where his helmet is, and the front of the helmet, either he smacked his head into the dirt or the tag got placed there. He's dancing off second, a throw back behind him. He's in a rundown. Francisca runs him toward third, and they flip to Aldewey, and Garcia couldn't make up his mind. Nicely done by Francisca. They couldn't get him on the stolen base. They do get him on the pickoff.
Well, Yoswar will take his 59th stolen base on the season, number one in the Carolina League, and Lynchburg will take the out on the pickoff. That's why you do check on the runner sometimes.
Yeah. Subtle shot at the over-rambunctious Hillcat fan earlier in the night. As David Garcia takes a strike, 1-1. If there's one thing the Hillcats have done well tonight, it's been controlling the base paths.
Yeah. they've had a lot of chances because the Mudcats have been aggressive.
Into left field, Reebok ranging over, lightning flashing all around him. He makes the grab, and the eighth inning is over. We head to the bottom of the eighth, Lynchburg down by four as we step aside on the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network.
Wondering how to buy tickets to minor league baseball games? Look no further than the Bally Live app. Download Bally Live today and you can buy tickets to your favorite minor league baseball games and watch in person. Can't make it to the ballpark? We got you. Watch every minor league baseball game for free on the Bally Live app all season long. Pick your favorite team, track stats, chat with friends, and earn rewards in the Game Center. Download Bally Live from the app or Play Store today.
We get it. Finding activities for groups can be difficult. The Lynchburg Hillcats want to make your life easier with our special group outings packages. No matter your group, spend the night out at the ballpark enjoying baseball with your favorite people. All group ticket packages come with discounted tickets, a PA and video board welcome, and the possibility for first pitches and on-field activities. Want to make the night extra special? Sign up for a group picnic and let the Hillcats take care of the details. For more information on groups or picnics, visit Lynchburg-Hillcats.com.
You're listening to Hillcats Baseball on the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network.
Talked about the mustaches for kids. One final note on the organization. The partner, not sponsor, but partner with the T-shirt giveaway tonight. It's the third largest mustaches for kids organization in the United States. Lynchburg, by no means the third largest city in the United States. They raised, get this, Connor, $600,000.
Wow.
In the month of November last year.
It's a lot of mustaches. A
lot of mustaches for 36 different children's organizations around town. That's doing good in your community. It's always important to invest in the city around you, and the Hillcats do a tremendous job of being active in several charities, M4K being one of them, as Francisca grounds it over toward first. Given away by Bitonti, Baez backs it up, and there's one away.
You know, I'm really surprised to see Brian Rivera in this inning.
I was just thinking the exact same thing.
I thought he was going to get out of the seventh, and it would have been, good job, you held down the fort. But no, they're giving him the eighth as well. He's up to 75 pitches.
Clearly, he's got a pretty good arm. He's had low stress pitches, too.
That's true.
Luis Marejo swings through it for strike one. And it's one thing to throw 75 high-stress pitches. But Rivera, he's not allowed a runner to get past first base other than the seventh inning. As that missed in tight, one ball, one strike. And so, for much of the game, he was just in cruise control. But he does get around between 80 and 85, so this will probably be his final inning. Turn to somebody new for the ninth. Down and tight. Two balls and a strike. Maybe this could be his final batter, depending on how it goes. With a left-handed hitting Christian Napchick on deck, they may bring in a new arm. The 2-1. Marejo tops it behind him. 2-2. Lightning still flashing all around us.
Yes. Lasted since, what, the fourth, fifth inning?
Maybe. It's been impressive. The 2-2. Big swing and a miss. Two down. You know that, Connor, this is how I imagine the Super Bowl kickoff to look. You know the shot of all the cameras flashing as the ball's kicked? That's kind of what the Lightning Show feels like to me, just with the regularity of it.
Yep.
Christian Napchek stepping in. An ofer for him. A lot of ofers across this scorebook, both tonight and the past couple of ball games. Napchek toward first, and Bitonti plays it easily. That's a 1-2-3 eighth for Rivera. Could he get the ninth? Guess we'll find out. Top of the inning, though, with Carolina at the dish after we come back on the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network.
If you haven't planned that vacation yet, start by checking Lynchburg Regional Airport.
With our great round-trip airfares to many popular destinations, flying from Lynchburg is easy and affordable. Offering daily departures on American Airlines to Charlotte with connections to over 170 non-stop destinations worldwide. To check airfares and book tickets, visit flylyh.com today and click Book Now. Prices are subject to change without notice, and certain restrictions apply. Advance purchase is required and availability is limited. Your close and convenient connection. Check Lynchburg first.
It's your last chance to catch the Lynchburg Hillcats at home this season as they square off against the Carolina Mudcats August 27th through September 1st at Bank of the James Stadium. Join us on Thursday night for College Night as we have special discounts for all of our local college students. In case you were curious, yes, it's still Thirsty Thursday. Then on Friday, we'll celebrate Christmas a few months early with a special Southpaw Snow Globe giveaway. Be sure to say goodbye to baseball for 2024 by getting your tickets today at Lynchburg-Hillcats.com.
Alongside Connor Young, here's the voice of Lynchburg Hillcats baseball, Jason Prill.
Cam Schalke making his sixth appearance for Lynchburg, 1-0 out of the bullpen. He has yet to allow a run, either earned or unearned, and get this, Connor. In 5 2/3 innings, he's only allowed one hit, 9 strikeouts and 4 walks for a guy with 3 different arm angles. And you talked to him before the game, Connor, and I think there's a little something extra in this series for him.
Yeah, he's got a relationship with Tyson Harden, the pitcher we saw last night for Carolina make his debut, about a week of debuts, especially on the bump. Those two guys, throwing partners in college and also when they would go on the road, roommates as far as the hotels are concerned. And now they find themselves in little old Lynchburg.
Be interesting to talk to Harden to see what throwing with Schalke was like as the submarine 67 mile an hour breaking ball.
Just a bowling ball.
Finds the zone 1-1. That is almost unhittable coming from that arm angle. And then he ramps it up to 88 with a fastball, same arm slot. What do you do with that?
I mean, he's special. I like the look of him out of the back end of the bullpen a lot. I really do.
It's very hard to find highly touted back end bullpen prospects, but Schalke, he might be a diamond in the rough. Clark ranging over. And Cleveland, yeah, I mean, you think about their bullpen, they have the lowest bullpen ERA in Major League Baseball right now. Schalke, several years away. But if this is just a sign of what's to come for Schalke, I mean, I don't think this is just the single A level he's dominating against these guys. I think he's just that tough to pick up and hit. A 2-strike offering, down and away, 2 balls, 2 strikes. And I noticed in your interview with him, Connor, the confidence he spoke with about his ability. He talked about facing guys with metal bats as that's lined into right field, a base hit. Only the second hit in the professional career allowed by Schalke. And Briseno just did a good job of taking it the other way. But I heard it during his interview, talking about playing guys with wooden bats at this level compared to facing guys in the SEC with metal bats. He said it feels like a night and day difference. Mm-hmm. And he feels so much more in command and control against the wooden bat, because if it is contact, it's not coming off as hard as it is with the metal bat. 68 at the letters.
Yeah, I mean, Mercado was about ready to tear into that baseball, but by the time he finished his backswing, that ball was still in flight, just about.
You remember playing Wii Sports Baseball?
Yeah.
And it's grounded toward first. Benjamin picks it, throws to Franciscan to left field off his glove. Down to third goes Briseno as the errors continue to pile up in Lynchburg. That should have been two.
Instead, that was
they
two.
Get none. And now Schalke will have to work out of some trouble. But his pitch, that 60-some mile-an-hour changeup, or whatever you want to classify it as, it feels like the, was it a drop pitch or a change? What do they classify it as in that game where it would just come in so slow?
Yeah.
Just painstakingly slow. Daniel Guillarte watches one in the dirt down and away for ball one. And then he can ramp it up to 90 miles an hour. Good night. That's a 20-plus mile-per-hour difference. We've seen it at 67 and now 90. Throw over and almost a good tag. They had the runner leaning as Carolina may attempt a double steal to put both runners in scoring position.
Not to mention with him, he's got the different arm slots. So it's almost like you're preparing for different pitchers.
That's something he said early on. Another throw over to try to keep Mercado honest as Guillarte still waiting for pitch number two of the AB.
One thing I wonder, if a hitter can make a quick enough adjustment to which arm slot he's getting on the delivery, could that tip his hand for which pitch he's going with?
I wonder the same thing. That'll be a balk as that'll bring the runner home from third. Schalke a little bit confused by how that was called a balk, but he threw over three times. Seems like he just missed count. So that run comes home to score, and it's a 6-1 ball game. What was going on in the mind there? Just an ugly game for Lynchburg. Down and away, three balls, no strikes. But Connor, like you, I've been trying to figure out if his arm slot determines whether or not he's throwing a certain pitch. I don't think it is. That sails wide again, ball four. And it's not the cleanest start to an outing for Cam Schalke. Have gotten aboard, still nobody out.
You know when he's going all the way underhand that you're getting something soft. I think the fastest we've seen when he goes completely submarine, almost underhand, is high 60s. You just can't throw the baseball very hard from that delivery. So for some hitters, that just might be a complete layoff pitch. I mean, if it's in two strikes, maybe you have to make a decision. I don't know. It's interesting. It's a pitcher you have to adjust for sure. You can't go at the at-bat against Cam Schalke like you can with any other pitcher in the Hillcats bullpen.
This tie at 81. Two balls, no strikes. As his command beginning to waver now. There should be two outs in the inning. The throwing error by Benjamin, allowing the inning to potentially get further out of hand. 6-1 our score in favor of Carolina. Schalke delivers. Ground ball over towards short. Francisca, he'll brace him to the bag at second. Throw on to first. They get two. And the runner goes down to third in Mercado. Guillarte retired. And Baez sent back to the dugout as Batanti. They'll try and drive home that runner from third. Love watching the different arm slots. That misses out wide for ball one. And with how quick baseballs get on you, you have very little time both to figure out the arm slot plus what pitch is being thrown. That's flared into left field. Going to be a tough play, and Reebok's not going to get there as it drops for a base hit. An RBI single for Batanti. Drives home Mercado. But you saw it right there. Batanti really had no idea what to do on that pitch. He just kind of checked it out into left field, and it worked.
You still got to execute your pitches if you're Schalke. No matter if it's coming in at 90 or 67, if it's middle, if you're able just to get a barrel on it, that's what can happen.
In there for a strike to Dinges. Safe to say it's not the best performance from any of the Hillcats tonight. The 0-1. Strike two. I think, in my mind, Connor, it's a clear-cut Hillcat hero tonight. Logan Clark.
Yeah. Yeah, just for that.
One inning alone.
Yeah.
A two-strike offering by Schalke. Fouled back. We'll try it again. If you missed it earlier in the night, Logan Clark threw out three base runners in one inning. Unheard of. I'd love to get a baseball reference note or an Elias Sports Bureau note, as that's lined into left field, hooking toward the corner. That'll get down for a base hit. Around second, going to third is Patanti. He'll get the stop sign there as Reebok fires it back in, but a double for Dinges, and the inning will continue. Luis Castillo will be the batter. And I think we're seeing the solution, maybe, to Schalke. Soft swings. Not trying to crush the ball. Just waiting back on it and just flicking it out there. Not trying to do too much, but that's been basically everything that Carolina has hit in this inning. Clark with a good block for ball one. And out comes Tony Arnold. Connor, changing subjects for a second. The yellow batting gloves. That seems to be a trend. I mean, you see a couple of the guys wearing the yellow batting gloves, the shin protectors,
yep,
the cleats. I don't know what it is about yellow, but it seems to be more of a trend in minor league baseball. They look like gardening gloves to me.
Yeah, I can see that.
Like the old dad-style gardening gloves.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
They're not the thick leathered ones. They're more of the fabric. You're just digging in the dirt.
Yeah.
Need something to cover your hands. That's what it looks like to me. Like, you got a baseball game at 6:30, but you got to get your garden tilled by 10 o'clock.
It's funny. Yeah, Carolina, they've got a couple guys with them. I don't know if the yellow's like an unofficial third color for the Mudcats or something.
I don't think so, because we've seen some Hillcats do it at times.
Yeah. Maybe they're just liking the yellow. Rafael Ramirez Jr. would always pull up with something.
He had every color of the rainbow. Missing wide to Castillo. Ball two. So we're back to action. 7-1. Carolina in front and inching further and further ahead. Good 68-mile-an-hour changeup. 2-1. Schalke looking for that final out here in the frame. He's up over 20 pitches. This will be number 25, actually. 26, mind you. Slow roller, first base side, and it goes foul.
Interesting case would be how much could Schalke throw if need be. Now with the different complexities in his delivery and just his game in general, you don't really want him going more than an inning, maybe two. He has gone two. That's his longest he's gone with the Hillcats. But, you know, when you're throwing 68 up there, you think you've got some life in that arm.
There is an arm warming in the bullpen, though, for Lynchburg and for Carolina, but that arm looks ready. The 2-2, missing wide, full count. The last thing Lynchburg wants to do is burn another arm.
Yeah.
They've used five pitchers already tonight, and they're not even through the ninth inning. There's no telling if they won't have to use a sixth. A 3-2. Softly hit center field. Tommy Hawk will end the inning and send us to the Hillcats half of the ninth. Lynchburg trailing by 6-7-1 on the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network.
Celebrate the history of America's pastime at the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown. See priceless treasures that will bring your baseball memories to life. Connect with the events that shape and change the game and our country. And relive the careers of legends who have earned the greatest honor in sports. Our stories to tell, your memories to share. Plan your family visit today at baseballhall.org.
It's your last chance to catch the Lynchburg Hillcats at home this season as they square off against the Carolina Mudcats August 27th through September 1st at Bank of the James Stadium. Join us on Thursday night for College Night as we have special discounts for all of our local college students. In case you were curious, yes, it's still Thirsty Thursday. Then on Friday, we'll celebrate Christmas a few months early with a special Southpaw Snow Globe giveaway. Be sure to say goodbye to baseball for 2024 by getting your tickets today at Lynchburg-Hillcats.com.
alongside Connor Young, here's the voice of Lynchburg Hillcats baseball, Jason Prill.
New pitcher on the bump for Carolina, but before we meet him, let's close the book on an outstanding outing by Brian Rivera. Six innings of work, one hit, one run. It was not earned. Two walks and four strikeouts as he went six frames out of the bullpen and gave the Mudcats exactly what was necessary to really hamper any momentum that the Hillcats could try to create.
Yeah, Rivera, you know, if we were doing a Mudcat player of the game, he would have a pretty good chance at taking that award home, which is saying something with how many fantastic players Carolina has had today. I mean, just about everyone in their lineup falls into that category, but he feels like maybe the biggest reason why they are in the position they are in heading into the bottom of the ninth.
Jerson Calzadilla, the new pitcher, 5'11", 188, 21 years old from Venezuela. Connor, take us through the numbers for Calzadilla.
Coming in, like we talked about already, a low-stress environment, which will do wonders. And this is just his third appearance on the year. He has not allowed a run through two and a third innings, only given up two hits and one walk on two strikeouts. Opposing hitters batting .250 against Calzadilla.
Logan Clark leading things off. He singled in the second inning, one of three hits on the night for Lynchburg. So they trail it 7-1. Fouled away right field side, strike two. So where do the Hillcats go from here, Connor?
Yeah, I mean, I talked about in the beginning of the broadcast that in a lot of ways it feels like the pressure is a little bit off coming into today now that those playoff hopes are even less likely that'll get fouled. After today, should the scoreline hold, and you never know with these Hillcats, the pressure's really off at that point. You still have technically a chance, but at that point, you know, you're just coming to the ballpark and looking to finish off the season with your boys. I mean, that's the way I see it. The pressure's off. You don't have to win every single game to make the playoffs at this point, which I think was kind of the pressure that was mounting coming into this series, where it felt like it's right now or it's never. And then at that point, you're just trying to take as many as you can off Carolina and then go to Fredericksburg and have a miracle week.
The 1-2 to Logan Clark. Missing wide, 2-2. The thing that bothers me, Connor, is last year the Hillcats fought all 132 games. All the way down to the very end. They walked off the final game of the season in a game that they were already eliminated by. And right now, it just seems like it's a lackadaisical effort.
Yeah. It does. I'm right there with you. The at-bats just haven't seemed competitive. And it's easy to say that from up here. Hitting's hard. It's really hard.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball's a tough sport. But it does feel like that life just isn't there.
The 3-2 offering. Ground ball slowly hit towards short. Guillarte will flip on to first, and it beats Clark by a step. And there's one down. A nice play by Guillarte here in the ninth. Juan Benjamin, the holder of one of the other two hits. He singled in the second. Left stranded at second base. Eleven hits for Carolina, three for Lynchburg. Swing and a miss, strike one. And you look at the scorebook. Almost every inning, they've had runners aboard. Apart from the first inning, that's a true sentiment. Whereas Lynchburg, almost more times than not, they've failed to get a runner aboard in this ball game. And their lack of patience at the plate is quite disturbing. No walks Tuesday, two walks yesterday, three walks today. That's not Hillcat baseball. feels as if they're swinging for the fences in every single thing that they do.
Yeah, I think it's a younger crop of guys that haven't really taken on that get-on-any-way-you-can mentality we saw from Churio, from Velasquez, from Hanau earlier in the season, from Esteban Gonzalez even.
Benjamin toward right field. Off the inside part of his bat, Castillo will settle underneath it for out number two, and Lynchburg's down to their final out, which will be Bennett Thompson, who will represent the last hope for Lynchburg. There were such high hopes coming into the series. Two to end in Salem. You were still in the playoff chase. You were within striking distance. You were going to face the number two and number one teams in the final 2 weeks. And it's just fallen flat. Thompson fouls it away for strike one.
Well, it felt like Lynchburg was gifted the opportunity to be able to control their own fate to a certain degree. They played who they needed to play. They had the opportunity to beat who they needed to jump in the standings. Just hasn't really gone that way so far.
In there for a strike, going two. And we said at the end of the year, if we were not going to make the playoffs, we would look back at what Lynchburg did against Delmarva in the first half as a telltale sign of this season. That missed out wide, 1-2. Lynchburg's record against Delmarva, measly.
And everyone's been beaten up on the Birds. I mean, the Mudcats and the Nats have just feasted against Delmarva, and it's been the exact opposite for us.
The 1-2. Down and away, 2-2. If you had removed all games against Delmarva and put them against any other opponent on the Hillcats schedule, not even eliminate all the games against Delmarva, period, Lynchburg would have won the first half quite comfortably.
Yep. And I'd be interested to see, you know, this would just be an effort that benefited Lynchburg, but if you just erased Delmarva as a team and everyone's record against them in the North, would Lynchburg in that case have that first place lead? I think they would.
The 2-2 up and in. Did it catch the hands? Home plate umpire says it did not. It caught the bat.
Thompson didn't try to fight him at all on that.
Kind of shocked by that. Nevertheless, we play on. Base is empty, two down. Bottom of the ninth inning, Lynchburg down by six. Into the motion, Calzadilla. Breaking down and away, and the count goes full. Now the last chance for the Hillcats. 3-2 our score. The pitch. 3-2 the count, picked by Braceno on to first, and that's the story of the ball game. Lynchburg drops their third straight. They lose it 7-1. We'll be back to recap it on the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network.
Lynchburg Hillcats are ready for a summer of fun with a fresh slate of weekly promotions for you and your family to enjoy. Every Tuesday, get a free ticket to the next Tuesday home game as part of our 2 for Tuesday promotion. Wednesday is Weenie Wednesday with hot dog deals each week, and Thursday we'll bring back our traditional Thirsty Thursday with drink specials all night long. On Friday, join us for Freebie Friday for a new giveaway each week. We'll have fireworks every Saturday night, and kids can eat free each Sunday during the season. Get your tickets today at Lynchburg-Hillcats.com.
It's your last chance to catch the Lynchburg Hillcats at home this season as they square off against the Carolina Mudcats August 27th through September 1st at Bank of the James Stadium. Join us on Thursday night for College Night as we have special discounts for all of our local college students. In case you were curious, yes, it's still Thirsty Thursday. Then on Friday, we'll celebrate Christmas a few months early with a special Southpaw Snow Globe giveaway. Be sure to say goodbye to baseball for 2024 by getting your tickets today at Lynchburg-Hillcats.com.
The final out has been recorded, and it's time for us to recap the ball game. Coming up on the Hillcats postgame show, we'll scan the scores from across the league and give you an update on the Carolina League standings, along with previewing the next game. But first, to cover the box score and name tonight's Hillcat hero, here's Jason Prill.
Not much you can really say about tonight, apart from the fact that it was 7-1 in favor of Carolina, as the Mudcats improve and further their chase of the second half crown as well as the first. They scored four in the fourth inning, and that was all they would need is Lynchburg could only muster three hits in the ball game. In the sixth, they would tack on another, and then in the ninth, two more as well. Lynchburg would get one across. In the seventh, Fran Aldewey would double home Reebok for the Hillcats' lone RBI. Hillcat hero of the night has to go to Logan Clark. He had a 1-for-3-9 at the dish, but behind the plate, it was probably his best showing. In one inning alone, he threw out three Mudcats trying to swipe bases as a 7-1 final score made that a moot point. And Lynchburg will try to regroup tomorrow, Connor, but this really just feels like the end of the line for the Hillcats this season.
They're going to have to really show us something to prove otherwise. For Lynchburg, you know, it's a sucker punch of a loss. It really is. And we've had some 7-1, 6-1, 8-1 losses or wins that we go back in the postgame show. We say, you know, this felt like a little bit of a closer game than what it was represented by in the final score. The exact opposite is true. This felt like a 7-1 loss through and through. And Lynchburg got to go back to the drawing board and go back and look to regroup for tomorrow.
Well, we'll step aside, Connor. You'll give us an update on the Carolina League when we come back and also take a look at tomorrow night's game and how the Hillcats can regroup to try and get things ready to go and maybe pick up a victory in this series and make things slightly salvageable after a rough first three games. Lynchburg falls tonight 7-1. I'm Jason Prill saying goodnight, God bless, and go Hillcats.
You've probably heard the old saying, the best things in life are free. But do you believe it? The Lynchburg Hillcats want to make sure you and your kids do. Sign your kids up for Southpaw's Free Kids Club and experience the best free activity your money can't buy. All Kids Club members receive complimentary tickets to five designated Kids Club games, Virginia 529 Fun Zone passes for the whole season, and exclusive autograph sessions with players. Kids 12 and under can sign up at Lynchburg-Hillcats.com to activate their Kids Club membership today. We get it. Finding activities for groups can be difficult. The Lynchburg Hillcats want to make your life easier with our special group outings packages. No matter your group, spend the night out at the ballpark enjoying baseball with your favorite people. All group ticket packages come with discounted tickets, a PA and video board welcome, and the possibility for first pitches and on-field activities. Want to make the night extra special? Sign up for a group picnic and let the Hillcats take care of the details. For more information on groups or picnics, visit Lynchburg-Hillcats.com.
You're listening to the 30th anniversary season of Lynchburg Hillcats Baseball.
Down go the Cats, 7-1, 11 hits for Carolina, just 3 for Lynchburg. Let's turn our attention to the Carolina League out-of-town scoreboard as we wrap up a lot of games around the Carolina League. Fredericksburg and Kannapolis, they're headed into the bottom of the ninth, 7-5 lead for the Cannonballers. Down East in Myrtle Beach just finishing up 2-1 win for the Wood Ducks, just a couple outs away from a final at Pelicans Ballpark. Salem Delmarva 3-0. Salem out in front over the Shorebirds. 2-1, Augusta leads at home against Columbia. 3-3 tie, bottom eight, Fayetteville, Charleston, Joseph P. Riley Jr. Ballpark, home of the River Dogs. Take a look at the standings. Not too many final scores yet, so this is going to be subject to change. As of right now, Carolina, a game and a half back of Fredericksburg. But with their win today, they will be a half game back as far as that Kannapolis-Fredericksburg score stays true, and the Cannonballers take a win against the Frednaps. Salem, three games back as of now. Lynchburg, six, along with Down East. Hillcats have fallen to 27-28, below 500 in the second half. Delmarva in the basement at 25-31. Charleston leads in the south with 3.5 games of cushion between them and Columbia. Myrtle Beach in third, Kannapolis in fourth, Fayetteville in fifth, and Augusta in sixth at 16-38. Tomorrow, it'll be Jason Woodward and Kyle Scott. First time in a while we haven't had at least one debut on the mound as far as the starting pitching is concerned. Kyle Scott coming off a Carolina League Pitcher of the Week nomination 1 week ago. Lynchburg is desperately needing some stability by way of starting pitching. Kyle Scott should be the guy to give him that. And if he can't get the job done, it feels like no one can for the Hillcats. Kyle Scott with a 6-3 record, 2.79 ERA coming into tomorrow's start. For Woodward, it's a 4.50 ERA, no record wins or losses quite yet. He is also a new face to the Carolina Mudcats, although he has made at least one appearance already this season. Well, for Jason Prill, this is Connor Young saying so long and good night from Lynchburg, where the final score for one final time is the 7-1 Mudcats. Thank you for tuning in to the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network, and good night from the Hill City.
Thank you for tuning in to Hillcats Baseball on the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network. Make sure to stay up to date on all the Hillcats news and notes by following the team on social media at LYN Hillcats. Fans can purchase tickets at lynchburg-hillcats.com. Be sure to tune in to our next game on the Hillcats Radio Network through our video feed on MILB.TV, MLB.TV, and Bally Live, or on our free audio stream at lynchburg-hillcats.com. Special thanks to the Cleveland Guardians, the Elmore Sports Group, and General Manager Matt Ramstead. For Connor Young and Jason Prill, I'm Staff Announcer Mitch Balla saying good night from Bank of the James Stadium. This broadcast has been a production of the Lynchburg Hillcats and Minor League Baseball on the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network.